Okay, maybe we'll discuss some in Yoni Shavuos. Okay, maybe we'll discuss some in Yoni Shavuos. Maybe. We'll see how far we'll get. The Chumash...
How's the dinner? We have a whole Chumash?
Yeah. The Chumash has this special dinim of Yavim Tovim written in different parshas. So in Parshas Pinchas, we have the... Musafim listed off. We have the special Karbanas HaMusafim listed off. So it mentions Yom HaBikurim. Shavuos is called Yom HaBikurim. Why Shavuos is called the Yom HaBikurim? Not because you bring Bikurim. Bikurim is a different thing that you bring. That's a machlokes. The Minchas Chinuch has a shaila. Can you bring Bikurim on Shavuos? You can only begin to bring Bikurim the day after Shavuos on Yisroel Chag. Shavuos is not called the Yom HaBikurim because of the Bikurim, but rather Rashi and Chumash says in Parshas Pinchas because they bring the Shtei Alechem. That's a special Korban Mincha that was brought on Shavuos. So it's called the Yom HaBikurim. It's the new Tvuah. Why is it called Mincha Chadosha? Because the Mishnah says earlier. I'm in Menachos Daf Mem Zayin. It's not earlier in Menachos. In Perek Rabbi Shmuel, there's a Mishnah that explains on Daf Samaches on a base. The Mishnah says, on Pesach you bring a special korban ha'omer, a special mincha ha'omer, and on Shavuos you bring a special mincha shtei alechem. The mincha ha'omer that you bring on Pesach is from Saorim, from barley. And it has to be kosher lePesach, it has to be matzah. And the mincha shtei alechem that you bring on Shavuos is davke from chitim, from wheat, and it has to be davke chometz. And the Gemara in Shavuos considers it a higher level of a korban mincha, the fact that it's from chometz. Chometzdik means that it tastes better, it's more kosher. So the Mishnah says that these two, in Parshas Pinchas, when the Torah lists off all of the musafim, it doesn't list off the korban mincha soimer that's brought on the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach, nor does it mention the shtei alechem that's brought on Shavuos, nor does it mention the korbanos that come in conjunction with the yoimer, nor does it mention the korbanos that are brought in conjunction with the shtei alechem. This is something different. The psukim in Parshas Pinchas only list off the musafim, that's all. The musafim, the chayvus hayom, the kedushas hayom is mechayv u'musafim. And Parshas Emor, it has the dinim of the Mincha Soimer with the Korbanos that come in conjunction with the Mincha Soimer, and the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuos with the special Korbanos that come in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem. So the Mishnah explains in Samaches on the base of Menachos, what is the function you bring a Korban? But in addition to bringing the Korban Oimer, what else does it accomplish? So the Mishnah says, Ha'oimer ha'yamater b'medina u'shtei ha'lechem b'amigdosh. I forgot to mention, Rabbi Fenishel has Yahrzeit. He's old today. Rabbi Fenishel has Yahrzeit for his father. So we should dedicate the learning in his memory. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch, Rabbi Shmuel Eliezer. So the Mishnah says that the Minchas HaOmer that was brought on the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach and the Shtei Alechem that was brought on Shavuos are Matir the Issa Chodesh. What's the Issa Chodesh? Whatever new Tvua grows, Tvua means from the Chameshis Mine Dogon, wheat, barley, oats, rice, spelt. The Chameshis Mine Dogon, whatever Tvua grows after last Pesach may not be eaten until you bring the Korban Haimer of this Pesach. That's an Issa Chodesh. That's a whole discussion. In the Gemara, the Mishnah says that the prohibition of Chodesh even applies all over the world. It doesn't only, it's not only restricted to Eretz Yisrael, even in America. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah in the first Perek in Kiddushin says that Mitzvah Satluyas Bar, it's only apply in Eretz Yisrael. With the several exceptions, there are certain mitzvahs, there are certain agricultural mitzvahs that apply even in Chutz Lortz, and one of those mitzvahs is Chodesh. The Chodesh applies even in Chutz Lortz. The only Machlekes HaTanaim is whether the prohibition to eat the new Tvua Chadosha in America, the new Tvua that grew now, there's no Chodesh. Now we just, this first day Chalamoy Pesach was Matur al Chodesh. But later in the year, when it comes September, October, they're already selling in the stores grain, they're already selling flour, they're already baking bread, cakes and cookies from flour that was ground up from grain that was planted after Pesach. The grain wasn't even planted before Pesach. So that's a shaila of Chodesh in America. So the only machlekes HaTanaim is whether this prohibition to eat the Chodesh in America is an Issa Deraisa or an Issa Derabbanan. But it says in the Mishnah that it's prohibited. That's a big pella. How come all over in Europe, the practice all over was that only the Gdolim were medakte, not to eat the Chodesh, not to eat the new Tvua, and the Hamoinam used to eat it. So the Bach writes a heter that although Chodesh clearly applies even in Chutz Lortz, a new Tvua that was planted after Pesach, you're not permitted to eat till it comes next Pesach, till it comes the Chalamite of next Pesach, that's only if it grew on the farm of a Jew. But if it grows b'shalakum, if it grew on a goy's farm, then it doesn't apply. So all of the Achrayim disagree with the Bach, and they say it's against the Yerushalmi. Taisus, they didn't dig up a favor from the Yerushalmi. Taisus, Afanort, in Kiddushin, and Taisus in Avodah Zarah. Taisus in a few Masechtos, in a few places, Taisus quotes the Yerushalmi on that Mishnah in Kiddushin that says explicitly that Chodosh even applies b'chutz loretz afilu b'shalakum, even if the farm is owned by a non-Jew. On the side of the Yerodeh, the Bach is a commentary on the side of the Beis Yosef. So on the side of the big Yerodeh, Shulchan Aruch, there is no Bach. So for the sake of those who don't remember what it says on the side of the Tur, so the Be'er HaGoyla quotes on the side of the Yerodeh, Be'er HaGoyla quotes this Svara from the Bach. Why is it that Bizman Hazeh, and all over in Europe, everybody's Mekel on the Chodesh? So he says the Bach solved the problem, and he explained that Chodesh only applies b'chutz lortz if it grew on a Jew's farm. If it grew on a Goy's farm, the din doesn't apply. So the Vilna Goyin, who was a direct descendant from the Be'er HaGoyla, I think it was his great-grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, attacks the Be'er HaGoyla in his commentary on the Yerodeya, and he writes that Yofa Haisalo Hashtiko, that he should have not quoted the Bach, that it doesn't make any sense, and it's wrong, and it's against the Yerushalmi, and the din is not correct. The Chodesh, the prohibition of Chodesh even applies in Chutz Lortz, even if it's on a Goyish farm. So it's really a big pella, what is this common practice based on? The Magen Avraham quotes what the Kula is based on. The Magen Avraham explains from the Rabbeinu Baruch, from the Sefer HaTrumah. There was one of the Balei HaTesis known as the Rabbeinu Baruch. In the Masechtos that we learn, he's hardly ever quoted, but in Menachos, Tesis quotes, Mizrachim Menachos, Tesis quotes pretty often the Rabbeinu Baruch. And he wrote a little sefer that's called the Sefer HaTrumah, they sell it in all the stores. So the Rabbeinu Baruch writes in the Sefer HaTrumah that if one holds that Chodosh, the prohibition of Chodosh applies in Chutz Lortz min HaTorah, if you assume that it's an Issa Deraisa, then it applies all over the world. But if you should say that it's only an Issa Derabbanan, that it only then HaSvarah no Senes, that it only applies in the Arotzes HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael, and those countries that border on Eretz Yisrael, Amunamoyov and Mitzrayim, but in America and a different continent, or even in Europe and Asia and Africa, far away from Eretz Yisrael, just like Trumas HaMaisis, B'chutz Lortz is only Midirabbanon. And the Rambam and the Balei HaTesis quote from the Yerushalmi that it doesn't apply. Tesis had such a svara that Trumas HaMaisis applies even in France and Germany. And then Tesis finally backs down from that svara in the beginning of Chulin and Davov and in Avodah Zarah and other places. Tesis finally backs down and they say, no, behold, that the Yerushalmi says that it only applies by Rotzis HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael. Only in the countries that border on Eretz Yisrael. By Rotzis HaRachoykais, they never introduce such a Chumrim in the Rabbanon. The whole din of of Tebel, Shumas and Maisis, Mid Rabban on the Chutzlort is only in the bordering countries, Dil Masa the Chlufe. You're going to have two cookies. One cookie is made from the grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. One cookie is made from the grain that grew in Amun Amoyev, in Syria, in Mitzrayim, and because they're right across the border. And years ago, they didn't have airplanes that you can drink Israeli orange juice in the London airport and in New York and in South Africa and all over the world. So how far could the food travel? 50 miles, 100 miles. So in those countries that border on Eretz Yisrael, they made Gzeirah d'Rabbanan, Dil Masa the Chlufet. But in Eretz Yisrael, they never made such Gzeirah d'Rabbanan. So that's what the Rabbeinu Baruch says in the Sefer HaTrumah regarding the Din of Chodosh. That we paskin Allah HaLamaisa, the Chodosh B'chutz Lord is only Midir Rabbanon, it's not Minatera. That's also, most of the Rishonim paskin Chodosh B'chutz Lord is Minatera. So then there's no room to be mekel, there's no room to negotiate. But the Rabbeinu Baruch says not so. The Chodosh B'chutz Lord is only Midir Rabbanon, and since it's only Midir Rabbanon, so it only applies Baratzis HaSmuchas Lord Yisrael. Baratzis HaRechokis, it doesn't apply. That's what the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Pesach quotes from the Rabbeinu Baruch. And that's what the Orach HaShulchan in Yerideya, in Hilchas Chodesh, I think Simei Reish Tzadi Gimel or something, towards the end of the third Chelek Yerideya, the Shulchan Aruch has one simen about the laws of Chodesh, and Orach HaShulchan writes about this big problem, this pressing issue, that all the Klal Yisrael Chutzal, everybody's eating Chodesh, what's the solution? So he jumps from joy, he rediscovered America, he rediscovered the Rabbeinu Baruch, that the Magen Avraham quotes. Magen Avraham lived a long time before the Magen Avraham lived in the 1600s. The Orach HaShulchan just lived less than 100 years ago. People alive today remember the Orach HaShulchan. He didn't die so long ago, less than 100 years ago. So the Orach HaShulchan rediscovers this Rabbeinu Baruch from the Sefer HaTrumah that the Magen Avraham quotes, and he says that that's the Kula. That's what the Keren Ora also writes. Keren Ora was a brother of the Mishkan Es Yankiv. He used to learn Becharusa, and after Mishkan Es Yankiv was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Balozhin, and he was the Rav in Karlin. Karlin was stolen in Karlin, twin cities. So that they had a lot of Hasidim there. He was a Misnagid. He had the Misnagdish Kehillah in Karlin. So, and after the Mishkan Es Yankiv passed away, then his brother, the Keren Ora, became the Rav in the city. So the Keren Ora writes with great respect about his older brother, about Mishkan Es Yankiv. So on the Gemara in Menachos, on the Sugya of Chodosh, and Chutzlaretz, Bizman HaZeh, so he writes, my brother, the Mishkan Es Yankiv, already took care of that. Look, and his tshuva, he already wiped off that din. So you look in the Mishkan Es Yankiv, what does he say? So that's what he says, B'kitzur. He says, even though the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh, all three Paskin, the Chodosh B'chutzlaretz is deraisa, so if it's deraisa, there's no room to negotiate, it applies all over the world. So he first, the Mishkan Es Yankiv, brings a raya that the Rabbeinu Baruch is right. He has a Stam Mishnah, he has a Beferish Mishnah that implies the Chodesh is only the rice in Eretz Yisrael. And once it's only the rice in Eretz Yisrael, it's only with the Rabbanim and Chutz Lord, then the Rabbeinu Baruch's Kula applies, makes sense, but it only applies by Ratzis HaSmuchas Lord Yisrael. It doesn't apply by Ratzis HaRachayim. It's a Shveri Kula. That's why in every generation there were always great tzaddikim who were medaktik about the Chodesh, that whenever they would go traveling, they would be medaktik at home. Whenever they would go traveling by other people, they wouldn't eat from any food that was cooked in their pots and pans, because they held that everything was treif. All the pots and pans were treif because it had a bliya of Chodesh. Shagasari has in the Shuvah Shagasari Chadoshes. He starts off with the dinam of Chodesh. It's called Achadoshes because it's the second volume of the Shagasari. It has nothing to do with Chodesh, but it has a whole kuntras on Chodesh. A big kuntras on Chodesh. So he has where the Chodesh applies b'chutz l'aretz. He says, yes. Whether there's a din of Bliyas Kelim, Zakta, yes. It's a Davish Yeshim Latirin, Zakta, yes. And the Bliyas Kelim, everything is also, right? The only Goyen was medactic about that. And every generation, there were Gdalim who were medactic about the Chodesh.
If it's the Rabbanim, you don't know where it comes from, so isn't there an inin of Raib, of Bittle?
The Ramon Yerideya quotes that from the Maharam Rutenberg, that if you assume that Chodesh is only with the Rabbanon, so maybe you can say Sveika the Rabbanon or a Svek Sveika or something, and then the Acharonim ask why, but it's a Chadovish Yeshma Matir. So Dovish Yeshma Matir, you can't say Sveika the Rabbanon Lekula. That's a Gemara, and you can't say, maybe you can't even say Svek Sveika Lekula. You can't go Basarai. Those are the tainas that they have against that Ramon. Problem? A problem? Yeah.
Real man.
Right. If Bizman HaTanoim, they would have had airplanes, they would have certainly made the Gzeira all over the world, because every place is also the Chlufa. You can never tell. If you buy an orange in the A&P, you don't know whether it was grown in America or grown in Eretz Yisrael. You drink orange juice, you don't know where it came from. But the mazel is that Bizman HaTanayim, they had no airplanes. So at that time, they were only goyis on Aratzis HaSmuchos. They were never goyis on Aratzis HaRachokos. So blighten with them. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's about Tevel. About Tevel. Right, right, right. It's about Tevel.
In America, the whole analysis of how the brain grows in America, it's very, very difficult that we should actually use Chodesh in America.
Right, right. We probably don't have any Chodesh, right. That's what Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in Berlin, he was known as the Brisker Tzaddik. That's what I was told many years ago, that he was very medaktik and Chodesh. Rav Chaim was medaktik, real medaktik and Chodesh. Now when he said when he came to America, when we learned Mishnah Yischala, so he told us this. When he came to America, so he asked the rabbi, and they told him there's no Chodesh in America. So he got used to eating everything, and then after many years of staying in America, he came to the realization that what they meant was that there's no Shabbos, there's no Kashrut, there's no Shpoche, no Chodesh, no nothing. There's nothing in America. But he says once he was already used to not being medaktik, it was very hard to go back. And his mother was always medaktik. His mother, when his mother passed away, so remember Abaron Soloveitchik at that time gave the hesped, he was speaking about how the mother was always medaktik in Chodesh through all the years, even when she lived in America. But they say that today it's
a great thing. It's a long time to reach the
Patriots. It's a question of Metzius, what the facts are. Yeah. So the Mishnah has this din. When you bring the Korban home of Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYakayam, when you bring the Minchas HaOmer on the first day Chalamot Pesach, that removes the Yisra Chodesh. So everybody, wherever there is an Yisra Chodesh, either it's only in Eretz Yisrael Min HaTorah, and the Aratzis HaSmuchos L'Eretz Yisrael Min HaRabbanan, or it applies all over the world Min HaTorah, or all over the world Min HaRabbanan, whatever it is, wherever you have this Yisra Chodesh, wherever it applies, once it comes the first day Chalamot, and you bring the Minchas HaOmer, so the old grain is mutter, and whatever new grain you'll plant now, then you'll have a problem of Chodesh on that. Bizman HaZeh, there's no Minchas HaOmer. So what removes the Yisra Chodesh? So the Gemara explains that the Pasuk in Chumash says, "V'lech v'kol v'kam l'asech lo ad etzem hayayim hazeh ad habiyachem esayim atnufa." So why does it write a double ocean? Ad etzem hayayim hazeh, you're not allowed to eat the Chodesh till the first day Chalamot Pesach, kama, till you bring the Minchas HaOmer. So the Gemara says one phrase applies Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. One phrase applies Bizman as a Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. So the Pasuk says, Ad haviyachem esayim atnufa. Till you bring the minchas haomer, you're not allowed to eat chodesh. Of the bizman hazeh that you cannot bring any minchas haomer. So the Gemara says the itzum shel yom is matar etzam yom hazeh. When it comes that day, it's already permissible to eat the chodesh at tuach chadosh. And what exactly does that mean when it comes that day? Doesn't mean itzum shel yom is tchilas hayom or sof hayom. So the Gemara says that's a machlokes. How do you read chumash when it says ad? Do you say ad v'yad bichlal or ad v'loyad bichlal? It says the lech they call it the caramel, the new tvua that grew, wheat, barley, oats, rice, stuff, whatever was planted after last Pesach, you're not permitted to eat. Ad etzem ayam hazeh. Etzem means the daytime of the day, not the nighttime. It means the daytime of the first day Chalamot Pesach. Which part of the daytime? The first minute or the last minute? So if you say ad v'ad bichlal means till the end of the entire daytime part of the day. So you have to wait till...
Does
Etzem
mean
Katsos? No, no. Etzem means means the daytime part of the day. No. The Gemara says Itzumashalyam means the day part. The day part of the day. No. The Mishnah has that Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYakayam and the Hakrovas Minchas HaOmer was Matah D'Chodesh. So the Mishnah says after you know that it's already Katsos Yerushalayim time, the Rambam says it doesn't mean Katsos New York. Yerushalayim is 7 hours earlier. And other parts of Europe are later, earlier, whatever. So if you know it's already Yerushalayim time, Chatzos, in the afternoon, so it's Bevadai that the Beis Din already has seen to it that the Mincha HaSeimer has been brought because it's a Chazak Hashem Beis Din Misatzli Medovah. We know for sure Beis Din is not going to be so lazy. It was always taken care of way before Chatzos, but by Chatzos for sure. But that's only, it's not because the word of the Pasuk means Chatzos. That's the umdana that for sure by noon on the first day Chalamot Pesach they have certainly taken care of the Minchas HaOmer. So the Mishnah says that just like the bringing of the Minchas HaOmer Bizman HaMikdash was matter the Yisra Chodosh Ba Medina, all over Eretz Yisrael. Medina means all over Eretz Yisrael. So too the bringing of the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos is matter the Yisra Chodosh in the Beis HaMikdash. What's the Yisra Chodosh in the Beis HaMikdash? It's another Yisra. Just like there's a prohibition for any person to eat chita sora, the chameshes mine dogon kus mishbel shol shipon. You're not allowed to eat any of the five grains that were planted after last Pesach, so too there's an Issa not to bring in the Beis HaMikdash a carbon from the new Peiris that grew this year after bringing last year's Shteh Lechem, the Hainu. Let's say not permitted to bring a carbon mincha from the tvua that grew. A mincha is always either from chitim or from sorim. All menachas are from chitim except from minchas seita. Minchas seita from sorim. And minchas sorim is from sorim. So all of the menachas that you bring from grain has to be from grain. Let's say we planted new grain. We planted new grain after last Shavuos, and it grew for a couple of months. Then we harvested it. Then we made flour out of it. And now we want to bring it as a carbon mincha. So you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon mincha until after Shavuos comes, until after you bring the Shtei Lechem on Shavuos. And then the Mishnah and the Gemara say, and not only are you not permitted to bring a carbon mincha on the Mizbeach Mamish, even to bring Bikurim is not permissible. You're not allowed to bring Bikurim before Shavuos. Also a violation of this din in Issur Chodosh. Even though Bikurim has nothing to do with the Mizbeach, you don't burn the Bikurim on the Mizbeach. Or even other things that are brought on the Mizbeach, even though they're not the Etzem Mincha itself. Let's say the Shemen, Zayis that you mix into the Mincha, or the Yayin, the Nesachim, that you pour down the pipes, you pour down the Shisen on the Mizbeach also. The grapes have to be grapes that were already, the grapes that the wine is made from have to be already over Aleihem Shtei Alechem. If we planted the grapes after last Shavuos and they grew and they developed and we squeezed out the wine and we want to bring it as a carbon yayin, nisach yayin on the Mizbech, you're not allowed to bring it before Shavuos. But the Yevid, the Mishnah says, that the Yevid, if you brought it before Shavuos, mehevi koidem l'shtei alechem kosher. The Mishnah says, but the Yevid would be good. If you bring it...
Lachmetoid
also, yeah. But the Yevid, it would be good if you bring it before the Shtei Alechem.
How about all fruits?
No, Bikurim is only the Shivas Aminim. Bikurim only applies to the Shivas Aminim. The other Aminim that are not brought on the Mizbeach, yeah. I mean, the figs and the dates for Bikurim. Also, you may not bring it before the Shtei Alechem. Because Bikurim is considered as if it's a certain type of a carbon, even though it's not brought on the Mizbeach. So lechatchila, there is an Isser to bring any of the new Peiris. New Peiris means that they were planted after the Lesh Te'alechem. You're not permitted to bring them in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon, either for the Mincha, for the Yayin, or for the Shemen, for the Mincha, or for Bikurim. Any of these, you're not permitted to bring it before the Te'alechem. So that's why Shavuos is referred to as Yom HaBikurim, because not because you bring Bikurim on Shavuos, it has nothing to do with that. The Michas Chinuch has a Shaili, shows that it may be a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, whether you can bring even Bikurim on Shavuos after the Shtei Alechem. Before the Shtei Alechem, for sure you're not allowed to bring Lechatchila. What about after you've already brought the Shtei Alechem HaShaili? Maybe you have to wait till tomorrow, it's not so poshut. But it's called Yom HaBikurim because on Shavuos you bring the Mincha Chadosh El Hashem, you bring the Shtei Alechem. And that's matir, the bringing of the Shtei Alechem, the Beis HaMikdash, is matir, allows you, Mikan V'yelech, to bring all of the Shemen and the Yayin and the Solas, the Menachos and the Bikurim, all the new Peiris that grew since last Shavuos.
For Pesach, even wine and Peiris are all kosher?
No, it's not Chodosh, but no, Hedyot is permitted to eat it, but you're not allowed to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. The Mishnah says, let's say I brought a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash before Pesach. I brought a carbon mincha from Chitim Masorim in the Beis HaMikdash before Pesach, from the new Tvua. So the Mishnah says, even with the Yevid, it's possible. But if you bring, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, what if you bring Chitim Masorim and mincha after Pesach, before Shavuos? So b'dievet, that will be kosher. Even though l'chatchila you didn't have the matir, so you're in violation of the Issa, you're not supposed to bring it before Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem is supposed to be mincha chadosh, you're not allowed to bring anything before it. But b'dievet, if you brought it in between Pesach and Shavuos, it'll be good. Or let's say you brought shemen and a mincha, not that the solace of the mincha was chadosh. Let's say the shemen was from olives that were chadosh. Or the yayin, I brought a yayin l'nesachim. So the yayin was from grapes that were chadosh, and I brought that before Pesach. So the Gemara says, even if you bring it before Pesach, it will be kosher, because there's no isa lehedyot. That's also called Hutem Mechlo Leitzel Hedyot. There's no Iser Lehedyot. The Iser Chodesh Lehedyot is only on the Chameshis Minei Dogon. The Iser Chodesh and Migdosh is on all the Peiris that you bring for anything that has to do with the carbon. The Yayin and the Shemin Lemenachis, Shemin Zayis and the Menachis, and the Peiris for design Minim, for Bikur. So the Gemara says that if you bring Shemen or Yayin before Pesach b'diyeved, it'll be kosher. If you bring Chitim Asarim b'diyeved in the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be possible. You have to bring the carbon all over again. And if you bring Chitim Asarim in between Pesach and Shavuot b'diyeved, it'll be kosher. That's the Mishnah. Because it's Mutar Lehed.
Everything is kosher after Pesach.
B'diyeved, the carbon will be kosher. Yeah, b'diyeved, the carbon will be kosher if you bring it after Pesach. Yeah. So the Psukim in Chumash tell us, and Parshas Amor tells us, in Parshas Pinchas it's not mentioned, because these are not Musafim. The Minchas HaOmer with the Korbanos that come in conjunction with the Minchas HaOmer, and the Shtei Alechem that's burned on Shavuos, together with the Korbanos that are burned in conjunction with them, those are not mentioned in Pinchas because it has nothing to do with the Musafim. This is mentioned only in Parshas Amor. So now the Mishnah has in Ezom HaKoyim a very interesting din. A chilek between Shalma Yochid and Shalmi Tzibur. Shlomim, when a private person brings a carbon Shlomim, that's a Kachim Kalim. Shlomim is Kachim Kalim. And the Mokam Mashchit is the whole Azor. If you would have Kach, Mokam Mashchit is only the right hand side of the Azor, only Tzofen. And if it's Kachim Kachim, it's only Nechel Zichri Kun in the Azor. If it's Kachim Kalim, it's Nechel B'chol here. And it's Nechel to Yisraelim as well. It doesn't have to be only Nechel by Zichri Kunin. And there's Manachil is more. There's Manachil of Kachim Kachim is only Yom V'Layla Ad Chatzos. And there's Manachil of Kachim Kalim is usually Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. You have some exceptions to the rule, but basically Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. So the Mishnah in Ezel Mekoyman draws a distinction between Shalme Yochid as opposed to Shalme Tzibur. The Shalme Yochid is Kachim Kalim, and Shchitas Mucho Mokum Vazara, and it's Nechel B'chol Hu'ir, the Yisraelim, Tahorim, you don't have to have Dach to Zichri Kuna. But if you have a Shalmi Tzibur, once a year you bring Shalmi Tzibur. That's on Shavuos. The Kivsa Yatzeres, it's not from the Karbonos HaMusafim, it's not in Parshas Pinchas. The Kivsa Yatzeres are brought in conjunction with the Shtei Alechets. And there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. There's a Machlekes HaBeshoel and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. What if you don't have Shtei Alechem? It was a bad year, nothing grew. There were floods, there was whatever. There was no rain. Whatever it was, nothing grew. So you were physically unable to bring Shtei Alechem. So does it make sense that you should bring the Kivsa Yatzeres? So the Rama Paskins like the Tana that you don't bring. It's a Machlekes HaTanoim in Perek Rabbi Shmuel. If you don't, it's not in Perek Rabbi Shmuel, it's earlier. It's in the Mems. A mem hayim a base, it's a machlekes hatanaim. So the Rama paskens like Rabbi Akiva, that halechem ha'akev is ha'kvas, men ha'kvas me'akvim misalechem, that the kivsei atzeres only makes sense, the musafim on musafim, you bring the musafim. If you don't have all the 11 musafim, so you bring whatever you have. You bring, if you have 4, if you have 7, if you have 9, if you have 10, you bring whatever you have. If you have all 11, it's wonderful. You have every Rosh Chodesh, you bring 11 musafim. And on Shavuos also you bring 11 behemoths for Musafim. And in addition to that, you bring the Shtei Alechem together with a series of Korbanos that are mentioned in Emor. So what happens if you just don't have any Shtei Alechem? It was a bad year agriculturally, nothing grew. So if you don't have Shtei Alechem, the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Akiva, Machlekes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva, Rambam Paskins, you don't bring the Kivsei Atzeres either. The Kivsei Atzeres are only brought in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem. It's a function of the Shtei Alechem. And then the Gemara has a discussion on Mem Ches, Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, Tano Abonon, what is it, a Tesefta? I don't know, a Braise. On the top line in Menachis, Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara quotes a Braise. What is Mekadesh, the Shtei Alechem? What do you mean, what is Mekadesh? You make a Kedusha Speh. When you say, HaReza Hegdush is Kedusha Speh, no. But the Mishnah has in the end of Menachis, and the last Perek in... The last Perek HaMenachos, 12 Perokim. Perek HaMenachos van Sochem. So it says, if you have a Korban Behemah, you have a Korban Oif, you say, Hareza Chatas Lashem, Hareza Oil Lashem, Hareza Korban Pesach, Hareza Korban Shlomo, whatever. Chatas you can't volunteer, if you mechuyev a Chatas. And when a person is Magdash, a Chatas Behemah, or a Chatas Oif, or an Oil Oif, the minute he makes the Kedushas Peh, so gets a Kedushas Haguf Lamizbeach. But what and it has no Pidyon. As Kedushas Haguf Lamizbeach, and there's no Pidyon anymore. But what happens if he's magdish a korban mincha, or is magdish yayin for menacha for nesachim, or is magdish shemen to mix into the menacha? Is magdish shemen is a korban b'fnei atzmoi? The Tanoim have a whole discussion. Is there such a thing? Can you bring a korban shemen b'fnei atzmoi? Rav Tarfon and the other chacham have a whole discussion about that. So if you bring shemen yayin or a solus korban mincha, so the Mishnah says, you say a bottle of wine, he wants it to be hegdish, he wants it to be a korban menachas, nesachim, and so on. So it says it only has a kedushas domim la mizbech. It doesn't have, that's like mashal ma'adav dam, like a person puts away $500 bill and he says he's going to buy a korban shlamim with this. So the $500 bill doesn't have a kedushas haguf la mizbech, it only has a kedushas domim la mizbech. As pidyon, that's what it's all about. Let's say a person puts away a table. He says, whatever the value of the table is, this table should be hegdish, kedushas damim la mizbech. This table should be auctioned off to the highest bidder, and the money should go towards buying a korban shlamim, towards buying korban oil, whatever, a korban chatos, whatever it happens to be. So the table doesn't have a kedushas haguf la mizbech, it has pidyon. That's what it's all about. You auction it off to the highest bidder, that's called pidyon. So even if he sets aside wine, oil, or flour, Menachas and Nesachim and so on, it only has a Kedushas Damim La Mizbeach. It doesn't get a Kedushas Aguf La Mizbeach until the Mishnah says HaMenachas VaHaNesachim Yesh Lahem Pidyon, up until Kiddush Kli. And it's learned that from Sukkim, up until the time that you put it into a Kli Shoreis. Once you put it into the Kli Shoreis, that's when it gets a Kedushas Aguf La Mizbeach. So now the Gemara has, what about the lechem? What about the shtei lechem? What is mekadosh the shtei lechem? It's also not a behemah and it's not an oaf. So what exactly is mekadosh? What, you have to put the shtei lechem into a klisharis? There is no klisharis that you're supposed to put it into. Yayin, you can put it into a klisharis. The menachas, you put the solus in a klisharis. But the shtei lechem you don't put. So the Tanoim learned that from the psukim, that the thing that's mekadosh the shtei lechem, the thing that gives it the kedushas haguf lamizbeach, is the avoidus of the kivsei atzeres, the shchita kabbalah halacha zrika, the dalad avoidus adam, the dalad avoidus that amakiv, shchita kabbalah halacha zrika of the kivsei atzeres, even in the different things. But the kivsei atzeres are two behemoths over here, the shalmei ksibo that are kachim kachim, and the shtei alechem is over here, the different things. But when he shecht, when they shecht on Shavuos, they keep the atzeres and they do kabbalah sadam and halachas sadam, they bring it to the mizbech and they do the zrika sadam, everything lishmo. If they do all the four avodas lishmo, then the lechem becomes kodesh legamrei. But if you didn't do all the avodas lishmo, then the lechem will not become kodesh.
The afi, not the baking.
The afi is not mekadesh. No. The afi, even before the afi, has a kedushas damim la mizbech, but it doesn't have yet the kedushas aguf la mizbech. So the Tanoim discuss, when does it get the Kedush Saguf Lamizbeach? So it says you need Dafke the Shchite with the Zrike of the Kibse Atzer Lishma. So the Gemara then quotes a machloikis between Rebbe and Rabbi Lezer Reb Shimon. What's the din of Kibse Atzeres? That's a Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. It sounds like it's a detailed halacha over here, but the Gemara applies it to other cases. It's nager la halacha lemaisa. The Gemara has a shaila. What if you have the kivsi atzeres, the two shalmei tziba, sheshchotam lishmon, the shchit was done lishmon, even the kabbalah, the halacha, but he didn't do the zrika lishmon. In order to be mekadesh the shtei alechem, you have to do all the avodas lishma. What if he only did the first, or the first two, or the first three, and he didn't succeed in doing all the four avodas lishma? What would you say? Would you say that it's kaddish, or would you say that it's not kaddish? So the Gemara says it's a machlokes Rebbe against Rav Lozer Reb Shimon. What's the machlokes? So the Gemara formulates it in an abstract term. When you have the expression that the Gemara uses is shnei dvarim hamatirim ma'ilim zeh b'loy zeh. If in order to accomplish, it's a composite mekadosh over here. The mekadosh consists of the shchita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika. All of the dalar avodas together done lishman. So the question is, what if I did one avoda lishma, two, three, I didn't do all four. So if I didn't do all four, do you say that I have 25% of the kedushas haguf? Do you say you have 50%, 75%, or you have nothing? Whenever you have something that's accomplished by a composite of several pe'ulois, so they say doesn't begin to get off the ground until you do all of them, but they say no, to the extent that you did part of the mekadesh, the part of the kedusha was chal. So that's a machlekes al Tanoim. So the Gemara in Yevamos Then the Gemara discusses the details. In Timtzi Loima, the Shnei Dvarim Hamatirim, Mailim Zebalezeh, that there is a partial chalois. So exactly how would you slice it? Well, what do you mean? It's 25% Kaddish or 50%? What does it mean? It's also Bachila. Gemara goes into further details. To what extent is it Takachal? So this is an Asik. This whole discussion, we don't have Bismanazah. But a little bit the Gemara has in Yevamis that we do have Bismanazah. Here it says on the side to look in Yevamis, Kuf Dalarim and Beis. And Yevamis and Daf Kuf Dalar, the Gemara is discussing there the Dinim of Chalitza. When a man is married and he dies leaving no children from this wife, no children from a previous wife, he has no children, no surviving descendants. So and he has surviving brother, he has a brother, min ha'av, even a half-brother, as long as it's from the same father. So, the almana is not permitted to remarry until she has chalitza, or she has yibum with the surviving brother. What exactly constitutes chalitza? So the Chumash, it describes that you have to have three parts to the chalitza. You have to have that she should remove the shoe from his right foot. The Yavama has to remove the shoe from the right foot of the Yavam. Then she has to do rekika, she has to spit on the floor in the presence of the Yavam. And then she and he have to have the Kriyas HaPsukim. So you have three parts. You have the chalitza, you have the rekika, and you have the Kriya. How much of this is ma'ake? So it's a three-way machlekes hatanoim. How much is ma'ake? What if you only did one part of the three? Would you say that b'di'evit and you didn't do the rest? Would you say b'di'evit she's not permitted to remarry? Would you say no? The mitzvah b'shleimusa is to do the whole ceremony. But b'di'evit, even if you didn't do the whole mitzvah b'shleimusa, so al kolponim, you have a kima mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa, so b'di'evit she would be permitted to remarry. So there's a three-way machlekes hatanoim. So there's one tana who's of the opinion that all three are ma'akev. The kriyas apsukim, with the rekika, with the chalitza, everything is ma'akev. Another tana is of the opinion, no, that kocha yayosa, only the ma'isim are ma'akev. So the kriyas apsukim is not ma'akev, but the rekika with the chalitza are both ma'akev. And we don't paskin like either of those shitas. We paskin that only the chalitza is ma'akev. Only removing of the shoe is ma'akev. But the spitting with the kriyas apsukim is not miyakim. Sure. So the Gemara now has another thing. The Gemara now says the way we paskin halacha lemaaseh said that the only thing that's ma'akev is the chalitza. So that's the end of the discussion. So there's no more to go. You can't go weiter. But on the assumption that one would hold otherwise, if one were to think that you need two things to be ma'akev li'ikuvah, or you need all three li'ikuvah. You need the kriya with the chalitza with the rekika, or at least you need the chalitza with the rekika. Forget about the kriya. Then the Gemara raises a question: what would the din be if the yivama shirakika? What if the yivama did the rekika and she didn't do the chalitza? She did the chalitza, she didn't do the rekika. So true, she's not yet permitted to remarry, but is she permitted to have yibum? We have a din that once the Yavama does chalitza, she's not permitted to do yibum. Because the pasuk says, "Kochi asalish ashelo yivne." As Beisachiv, this is what we do to the man who's not going to do yibum. So the Gemara asks, "How do you know he's not going to do yibum? He didn't yet do yibum. The chatchid should really do yibum. The surviving brother should be miyabim. He should marry the almana." And if he doesn't want to, the Mishnah says mitzvah sidin kodemis l'mitzvah chalitza. It's more proper that he should do yibum. That's what the Sfardim still practice bizman hazeh. And if he doesn't want to do the mitzvah bishlei musav yibum, then b'di'evet he'll do chalitza. So how do you know kochi yaseh shelo yivne? How do you know he's never going to do yibum? Just because now he didn't do yibum, maybe he'll do in the future. So the Tanaim understood from the lashon osid, from the future tense of the verb kochi yaseh shelo yivne, that kivin shalai bono shuv layivna, that once he does chalitza, he's prohibited to do yibum. So let's say they made up a date. They set a date with the bezna. They're going to do chalitza tomorrow morning, right after davening. It's 7 o'clock minyan. It's going to be 8 o'clock. Usually do the chalitza right after shacharis. 8 o'clock right after davening in shul in front of everybody. It says in shulchan aruch should be done in public. Also, even to Hashara should be done in public in front of everybody. And then they change their mind. They decide they want to do Yibum. So, Gesundheit, change your mind, change your mind. So, do Yibum. As man is there, by the Ashkenazim, we don't allow Yibum. By the Sfarim, they do, the Ashkenazim don't allow. It's a different discussion. So, you don't say, Kibin Shalabon Shuv Le Yibne. Up until the moment that he does the Chalitza, he can change his mind and do Yibum. What happens once he does the chalitza, we don't allow them to do yibam anymore. What if they started the chalitza, they did half of the chalitza, didn't finish the whole chalitza? Would you say that since they started the chalitza, so he's already prohibited to do yibam, or would you say not? So the Gemara says, well, the way we paskin halacha lemaise, that the only thing that's really li'kuva by the chalitza is the removing of the shoe. The chalitza, the rekik is not ma'akev in the kriyas, the psukim is not ma'akev. So the only thing that really constitutes chalitza is the chalitza, her sandal, removing of the shoe. So either she did take off the shoe, she didn't take off the shoe. And she didn't take off the shoe yet, so you didn't even begin. Nothing. You didn't even get it first base. You didn't even start yet. Once you took off the shoe, it's all over already. You finished. Either you didn't begin or you finished already. There is no in the middle. It's not shach to discuss what if you did half. But if they didn't, would have been like the other Tanoim, that all three Ali Kuva, or at least that two Ali Kuva, then you need the Rikike with the Chalitza's Hasandol, so then the Gemara has a Shaila. What would the din be if she already spit on the floor, or she already did Kriya Sapsukim, and that's part of the Ikuve of the Chalitza. So if you're halfway through the Chalitza, maybe I should apply this Machlekes HaTanaim, the Gemara says. If you have if the Shechita, the Shechita with the Zrika, Shechita Kabbalah Allah Hazrika, all the Dalar Avodis of the Kibsi Atzeres are Mekadesh the Shtei Alechem. So what if you only did one or two or three Lishma? So that's a Machlekes HaTanaim. Is it partially Mekadesh or is it not Mekadesh at all? So the Gemara applies the same Machlekes HaTanaim over there. What if you did the beginning of the Chalitza but you didn't finish? Do you say when you did the beginning, so there's a partial, it's considered as if the Chalitza was partially Chal? In which case, something like that? In which case he should say that you're not permitted to do Yibum? Or would you say no, until Shnei Dvarim HaMatir made a Ma'ilam Zebelezer? If you need a composite of several Pulois, up until the completion of all of the Pulois, nothing gets off the ground. So it's not even considered like you began even the Chalitza. So the Gemara relates this, Machlekes HaTanaim, Menachas Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara in Yevamos Kuf Dalet relates it to Chalitza. So the Achreinim Fregging Akashe, what you asked is the Keren Oris Kashe. In Perek Naira Hamarasa, the Daf Yomi just learned recently, I think, in Perek Naira Hamarasa it says if you have a Naira Hamarasa, Naira means between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, and the girl only had Erisin, she didn't yet have Nisuin, so she's still Bishus Aviyah, and she's a little bit Bishus Bailo. When the girl is in a suah, if the nisuin already, or the girl is if the girl is ready in a suah, then only the husband does the hafaras nedarim. If she's single, then the father does the hafaras nedarim before, up until bagrus. What if she's a naira hamurasa, so she's both bishus aviyah and bishus baila a little bit? So the Mishnah learns off in the psukim, naira hamurasa, aviyah baila mefirim in the dera. You have to have a hafaras nedarim by both. Hefer habla, hefer abal, hefer abal, hefer av. Ain a mufer at she or fairish name. You have to have that they should both be mefer. That's the first Mishnah in Naira Hamarasa. So the Gemara raises a question: what would the din be if one was mefer and the other one was not mefer? So the Mishnah says it's not. The nether is not broken, but the Gemara wants to know: maybe it should be partially broken. Maybe you should say that it's partially broken. So the Keren Oira is, no, let's say one is mefer, the other one is not mefer. The other one says he's happy with the nether. One is unhappy, one is happy.
What happens if, let's say, the father died? He's not around anymore.
Then the Mishnah says the Baal cannot be mefer on his own. The husband cannot be mefer on his own. If the husband dies, then the father can be mefer on his own. If she has Bulgaris, right? Then she goes back to the Rishus HaRam. But what happens, she's a Naira Hamurasa, and you have to have the Hafora, the composite, the combination of both, the Hafora of the father and the Hafora of the Baal, of the Oris. And one was mefer, the other one was not mefer. So the Gemara wants to know, does it make a partial effect or not? And the Gemara never relates it to this Machlekes HaTanaim. So the Keren Oira, that Gemara is bothered with this kasha. Why shouldn't you say that it should depend on this Machlekes HaTanaim? Whether Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim, Ma'alim Zebelayzeh, because the Gemara in Yevamos in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza held that this Machlekes is not only a local Machlekes in Hilchos Shtei Alechem. What's in the Kaddish? It's a universal theme, it's a universal topic that applies all over. Anytime you have a composite of two or more Pulas, they're combined to bring about a certain result. What's the din if you did one or less than all? Does it at least bring about a partial result?
Rebbe, if you say that the only thing that the only mice that's required by a chalitza is the
completes itself.
No.
You can't say that by the
Kiv Satzeris, but all your holders are important. By Kiv Satzeris, you need the several pulas, yeah. So that's why it's a machlekes hatanai. Yeah. By Chalitza, the Gemara says, if you hold the way we passed, that the only one maisa that's ma'akev is the Chalitza, the taking off of the shoe, then the whole machlekes has no application.
No dimya.
But the Gemara says, if you hold like the other, one of the other two tanaim, that all three are ma'akev, or two out of the three are ma'akev, then the Gemara said, it should apply. But the Kevin Ari asked, so why shouldn't this machloikis apply also to HaForest Nadar? If you have a Naira Hamarasa and you have Hivi Avio, Mefirimis, Avio Bailo, Mefirimis Nadare, you need a composite HaForah consisting of the father's HaForah with the husband's HaForah. So why shouldn't the Gemara say, if one was made for not the other, should be an issue of Shnei Dvar Mahamatir, Mailam Zebaloiza?
But if you wait a half a year, then it falls away by itself, doesn't it? She's only two and a half, right?
No, it's not going to fall away. They can only be made for B'yom Shama in that day. Yeah, if they're not made for B'yom Shama, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Right.
So they lost their chance.
So they didn't get a chance at Taurus Nadar.
No. There won't be Malkus. Even if she'll eat it, there won't be Malkus. The Gemara, the Ran on the Gemara discusses what is the The Gemara raises the question, maybe there should be a partial Hafar. So the Ran discusses, what does it mean, a partial Hafar? And I've committed, there won't be Malkus. So the Rashbo may, you have to learn there the first daf. We have, just learned it, you have to chazer again. On the first daf of Naira Hamoroso, the Rashbo has a pesap comment. He had a difficulty in the first Tikkul of Gemara, in the first Mishnah, and Perek Naira Hamoroso at the end of the Nadar. So he claims that the Iker HaForeh by a Naira Hamaras is really by the father. Because an Arusa, the whole difference in definition between an Arusa and an Nesua is that the Arusa is an Eishes Isha, lo bebeis habal, and the Nesua is an Eishes Isha, who is bebeis habal. So where does it come off that the husband has a Shaychus with the HaForeh Sendor? So the Gemara says in Ksubinus and in Kedushin and a few other places that there's one little din that even an Arusa is Beveis HaBal, the Haina for HaForest Nadar purposes, that she is Beveis HaBal. So the Rashba says, not exactly. She's a little bit Beveis HaBal. The husband's HaForest Ma'ake. Basically, she's Beveis Avia. No, it's not engaged. But in modern Hebrew, we say an Arusa means that they're only engaged. But in Tanakh, in Biblical Hebrew, in the Gemara's Lashon, Arusa means Mekudeshes. She needs a get. She's a regular Eishes Ish. Yeah, just that they didn't have the chuppah. We do one right next to the other. We have the eris in the right way, we have the nisuin. But b'zman ha-tanach, b'zman ha-gemar, tila t'kuvah sagarim, they had the eris in, and then they had a long pause, and they had nisuin months later, years later. So there was really a separate thing. So the Rashbo has a diuk from the Gemara in the beginning of Naira Hamarasa, that by Naira Hamarasa, it's not really that, it's a composite hafora. Consists of the haforas of and the haforas abal. It's not really so. It basically the father does the hafora, but the haforas abal is ma'akev. So it's not really that you have two together. So maybe that will help out a little bit in that gemara. Maybe that will help out in that gemara in the dorim. Anybody have a gemara in the dorim? Where's the Gemara Shaila?
Samaches
and Menalo. The Gemara has the Shaila Baal. If the husband was Mefer, maybe that's the Shaila. If the husband was Mefer, not the father. You have to look through the Gemara again. Maybe if the father was Mefer. So that's cool, Taka. That's made Dvar Mamatir Ma'ilim Zebeloizeh. Because the husband, the father really does the father does the main hafor. It's just that the father's hafor is not good without the husband's. So that Taka may be dependent to this Machlokes Hatanoim. But the Shaila is if the husband is Mefer, does it have any effect at all?
Yeah.
You have to look in the Ran with the Karenera, yeah. Anyway, this Rashbam may or may not help in solving this problem. That's one of the kashas that the Achrenim has. Then the Achrenim have another kasha regarding Geiris. The din is when a non-Jew wants to convert, so the Gemara learns that from Ayman HaSinai. The Gemara increases the Aftestament Aleph, says, Ma'av is based on a pasuk that there's a hekesh, kochem kadesechem, anyone who wants to convert in all the future generations has to be, you have to do the Seder of conversion the same way that our forefathers converted Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, Ma'av, and that's how the Rambam quotes in Shulchan Aruch, Ma'av sechem anichnas lebrisa lebmila tefila v'korban. Just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, they needed Geiris. So how did they enter into Geiris? They needed Mila, they needed Tvila and a Mikvah, they needed to bring Hatzuas Domim, that's the Losh HaLingmar, Korban, they had to bring a Korban. So too, throughout all the future generations, a Geir, Habola, his Geir, if it's a man, he has to have Mila, and he has to have Tvila, and he has to have Korban. Okay, so the Korban is Banazed, Igmar has a Pasuk, it's not Makiv. So you need Mila and Tvila. What if you only have one without the other? Is a Machlegis HaTanoim in Yevomis. If mol v'loy tovel, or tovel v'loy mol, is a machlokes hatanaim. How do we? So there are three different opinions. And we pass in halacha l'maisa, the Gemara said, b'hilchus mol v'loy tovel, tovel v'loy mol, is a goy gomer. You have to have dafke milo u'tvilo. If you only have one without the other, he remains a goy gomer. So the achreinim ask over there also, if we pass in halacha that milo and tvilo together, ali kuvo, and if you have one without the other, if you have A without B, B without A, he's not yet a Yisrael gomer. So why is it such a double pasha that mol v'loy tovel is a goy gomer? A goy gomer, you should say he's a chatzi yisol v'chatzi benach. You should say l'chumre he has to like tvil. What's the din if you have a chatzi yeved v'chatzi ben chur? So an eved is pata from tefillin and pata from shofar and pata from all the mitzvahs and shazman grome. And a ben chorin is mechuyev. So if you have a chatzi yeved v'chatzi ben chur misofik, he has to fulfill all the mitzvahs because he's a chatzi ben chur. So why should... Okay? So why shouldn't you consider, let's say, a goy, who's in the middle of the act of conversion, he did mila without tvila, he did half.
There is a person that wants to be kind of a chayyim, then it's a little kind of omnibus, but here, it's not because he has to do both for the coming year.
Right, so why shouldn't we say that if he does one without the other, that's a halbayid?
He didn't do it.
But he did the first ones, Alavana Halbiyid, just like the Gemara has this universal concept. Whenever you have a composite pula, a pula that consists of several pulas, and if you did one of the several, so there's a svari, some tanaim hold that it accomplishes a half of the result. So why shouldn't you say that a ger who did mila and didn't do tefillah, vert a halbiyid and a blight a halbagoy, a partial, should be totally.
The part that's a whole is complete.
So why not say that he has a partial right? Right, it's not the same. But why shouldn't you have such a din? We should treat him like a partial Yisrael, should have a partial Kedusha Yisrael according to some Tanoim. If you all Shnei Dvarim Hamatir Ma'ilam Zebelezeh, say he has a partial Kedusha Yisrael, and how will you treat him? So you say Misafik has to keep all the mitzvahs, like Yisrael, L'chumra. You should go L'chumra. So this is Akasha Dar Achreinim Esk also. This is Akasha Dar Achreinim Esk. And they give, the Rav Zichron Levracha has printed, I think, in Kol Dodi Dofik. He has a long footnote towards the end, where he gives the teretz, that's the standard teretz, and this kasha, this reader, Yesh has a tshuva on this. This is why they say in the yeshivas, that by a ger hamizgayer, we pass in la'alocha that you need milo utvila. It's not considered shnei dvarim hamatirim. It's not that the milo and the tvila are both maisa geris. No. By a woman who wants to convert, all you need is tvila. By a man who wants to convert, the geris really consists of tvila. The Mila is not really a Maisa HaMegayer. The only thing is that we have a din, an Orel cannot become a Ger. If he's an Orel, he can't become a Ger. So you have to have that it should be Mal, Lishem, Kedushas Yisroel, to remove the Orlo. Normally the din says, the Halacha says, that a Goy is always considered an Orel. Even if the Goy had a circumcision, he's still considered an Orel. Except, the Rashba writes on the first daf in Terika Orel, and the end of Yivamas on Dafayin, the Rashba has a hoichacha for Nigmar Beferish that if the non-Jew did Milo, the Shem Geirus, even a blight goy gomer, but he's not called an oral anymore. If he only had circumcision done by a Jewish doctor, by a Goyish doctor, doesn't matter. He's not only a Goy, he's an Oriel. Kol HaGoyim Arelim, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says every Goy has a din of Oriel, because Goyis gives him a din of Orlos, and Afkimini whether he can be a Moyel. The din is that an Oriel is not permitted to be a Moyel. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Ches, that we learn out from a pasuk that an orel may not serve as a moyel, and even if he's a goy who is gemal, he had a circumcision done to him al pidin, he's not only a goy, he's an orel also. But what happens if the goy had mila done to him, the shem geirus, and just never followed up, he never finished up, it's already 25 years later, and he never had the tefillah l'shem geirus. So the Rashba shows from the Gemara in the beginning of Ha'orel on Daf Ayin that once he has Milu, L'Shem Geiris, this removes the din of Orel. He remains an Achri, but he's no longer an Orel. So the beer is, that's how they say in Yeshivas, that's how Rav Soloveitchik printed in his essay in Kol Dodi Dofek. He writes that it's not that if it's a man who wants to convert, you need two Maisa Geiris, you need Mila and Tvila. No, it's the same as an Isha. All you need is Tvila. Except that there is a din that is an Iku. An Orel, even if he'll do Tvila, the Tvila will not accomplish any Geiris on him. So first you have to have a Mila to remove the status of Orel. Once he's no longer an Orel, so now he's a candidate. Now it's Shaykh to discuss his having the Mila, the Tvila, that the Tvila should make him into a Geir. But it's not really a Shnei Dvarim HaMatir. It's not that you need both together. No one holds it a Shnei Dvarim HaMatir. So that's why the Tanoim, that's the teretz, the kasha that the Acharonim is. The Kerenari is the kasha also on Yivamis. Kerenari in the end of the Nedarim is the kasha by Hafora. The Kerenari on Yivamis is the kasha by Geiris. That's why it has nothing to do with the topic of Shnei Dvarim HaMatir and Ma'alim Zeh B'lo Zeh, because it's not so. This is a big nafkemina ladina. Big nafkemina ladina in the following sense. The din is that the Maisa Geiris are supposed to be done in the presence of a Bezdin. The Rabbi Yechanan learns that from a Pesach in Yivamis and Kiddushin Gerzar Shloisha Mishpat Ksibbei. Well, then now from a Pesach somewhere or another, Tosis has different suggestions, but there is a Pesach somewhere in Chumash that it says that you need Mishpat Ksibbei, you need a Bezdin of Shloisha to be Mekabel Geir. So what exactly does that mean? So there's one opinion in Taisis that all you need the Bezdin for, there's one opinion in the Tur. The Tur claims that according to the Rif, the Bezdin is not Ma'akev. That if a Ger is Mizgar, without a Bezdin, Sabriyeva, the Ger is Mizgar. But we don't pass him like that. We pass him that the Bezdin is Ma'akev. Now, the question is, the Bezdin is Ma'akev on which part of the Ger? So there's one opinion in Taisis that the Bezdin is only Ma'akev, the need for the Bezdin by a Ger Mizgar is only for the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. As long as the Ger promises in the presence of a Bezdin is going to observe the mitzvahs, then he can go to the mikveh by himself, he can do the milah by himself, and you don't need the Bezdin there. I think Gemara says b'feirush that the way you do a Kabbalah's gerim is that the ger is standing in the mikveh up to his neck in the water and the Bezdin is standing on top of him and they interrogate him. Do you reject the Trinity? Do you accept the Torah Min HaShemayim? Do you accept Schar? Do you believe in Schar V'Yonish? Do you believe in Bias HaMashiach? Do you promise to observe all the mitzvahs? So you see that you have the Bezdin present at the time of the Tfilah also. So Taisa says that's l'chatchila. You should repeat the Kabbalah, so it's not that you need a Bezna for the Tfilah. You need a Bezna for the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. And the proper thing is l'chatchila, to have the Kabbalah on mitzvahs immediately before the Tfilah, as he's about to do the Maisa Geiris. But B'dievet, Taisa has one opinion, that if you would have had the Kabbalah on mitzvahs 2 days earlier, and there's no Bezna watching at all, when the goy is tovel in the mikveh, let's say it's a woman, and the Bezna, you can't have three women. The Bezna of Geiris has to be three men. That's Mefurish in Taisa, it has to be three men. So what are the three men going to be standing in the mikveh? So one opinion of Taisus is that the Geiris would be valid as long as the woman was Mekabel on mitzvahs in the presence of the Bezdin. Even though she was Tovel in the mikveh, there was no Bezdin present. And then Taisus says the other day that maybe it's not so. That maybe you need a Bezdin li'ikuvah for the Maisa Geiris as well. It's not sufficient that you had a Bezdin for the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The Bezdin has to supervise the Maisa Tvila. That's taka an issue. If a woman is Mizgayer, and you have to have a Bezdin of three men, you can't have a Bezdin of three women. So how are you going to have the three men in the mikveh?
She wears a big shirt.
Oh, so she wears a bathrobe, we wear a loose bathrobe and fire it again. So that's a big shaila. In some, there were some great gedolim throughout the different generations who were makel on that. Great gedolim.
No, okay.
They rely on the mikveh lady, and the Bezdin is not present when the woman is tefillah in the mikveh. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that. So he writes that it's 2 days in Tosis, Hasfeke Adin. He says you shouldn't do it. And if they did it, even though it's done under the auspices of great Goyim and Tzadikim, great Talmid Chacham says you should do over again Bali Bracha. He says the woman should be tefillah in the mikveh again without a bracha. And even if she already has grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you should tell them all that they should be tefillah again in the mikveh, b'li bracha, misafek.
Have a tufastam also for children? You would have to have a tufastam?
Whatever. You treat everything as a safek goy, safek yisra.
What do you do by a child? The ikeh is kabbalah, so mitzvah is, if you adopt the child, what's the... is a child, let's say he goes already Mila and Fila, what is the thing? Where is the Kabbalah Sol
Mitzvah? Stama Shaila, where is the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah? How do you have...
How Shabbos for him, is he considered like a Jewish kid? There was no...
No, you're asking a Stama question. The Gemara says that there is a possibility to be Megayra a little baby. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, where's the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah? Niche that you can do the Mila on his body and the Tefillah push him in a mikveh. Where's the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah? So the Rishonim discuss. Some Rishonim hold that you have the Kabbalah later, and others say no, that you don't need a Kabbalah. Zachanam Shlomo, you don't need a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. That's the way we usually assume, that there's no need for Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. There's no need. No, Shalai Bafana means if he doesn't know about it. So if he's a Godlik, he's a Bardas, then it's Bafana. So what does he have to say? Akotn is a lot Bardas, even though he's here, it's considered like he's not here. Has the status of Shalai Bafana. But a Godlik is a Bardas, it's Bafana. So you have to have his consent. Yeah, the Mila has to be done the Shem Ger. They have to do Atavis Dambris.
So shouldn't you need Atavis Dambris afterwards? If the Mila only takes, removes the Arlo, the Arlo's, shouldn't require Atavis Dambris afterwards? Wasn't the Mila Shem Ger?
Why should you need Atavis Dambris again?
Because what's the difference that Tony was not with Mal? Gabi the Geras, he's not with Mal.
He only becomes Mechiv in the mitzvah of Mila after he's Mizgayer, after he becomes Jewish. And then you don't have Atavis Dambris again.
If you know this idea, just remove the Olam.
However you slice it, you have a good question. However you'll explain it. He's not a Jew until after he goes into the mikveh, so you should say that now that he becomes a Jew, let him be Mechiv to do Bris Mila. And you weren't Yaitzeh with the Bris Mila that was done before. So why shouldn't you insist on Atavis Dambris? Okay, it's a good cash.
No, but the meal before, if he takes away the olah, then there's no shaykh anymore to establish. It makes him such a way that he's
why that's what he is. Let him be like a noel ad mohu, that he doesn't have an oil and he still need out of his dambris. Okay. Okay.
Don't think that he was good enough to get rid of the
That was a big machlokes about 100 years ago or so. That was a big machlokes if you have a man who is mal l'shem geiris, but he wasn't tevel yet. Usually it takes a while. After the bris mila, he waits till the wound heals, and then a week later he'll go to the mikveh in the presence of a bezin. So is he permitted or forbidden to be a shem shabbos? That shabbos in between. So the pashta says that he's still a goy gomer. Pasha said that he's still a goy gomer, and he's not a mishvera chiddush. She said that if you have a goy who is a mizgayer, so he needs mila and tefila. So the question is in shnei dvarim hamatirim ma'ilim zeh b'loy zeh, the shayla that the Karenayer and the others ask. So he says no. He says when you do the mila, he becomes a Yisrael gomer. Mila alone makes me just like by a woman, the tefila alone makes her a geor. So by man, the Mila Allah makes him a ger. Aye, but the din is that Malvel Etovel is a goy. So he says, no, he has the right to back out up until the time that he does tefillah. But if he doesn't back out, then he goes through with the tefillah, the Shem Geiris, and later he'll say it will be a gloy, Muslim Afreya. It was really Jewish all along. He was really Jewish from the time that he did the Mila. Shverabot. When he does the Mila, he's really Jewish, except that he has a right to back out. Mechatez, he has a right to back out. Up until the time that he does the tefillah, and after he does the tefillah, then it'll be like most of my friends really Jewish all along. Ashverevar, the Pashta says the Achreinim who are bothered with this kasha. Why does the Gemara say that Movel Etovel is a goy gomer? Let it be like Shnei Dvarim Hamatir Ma'alim Zeh B'Loy Zeh. They clearly didn't think like that. They clearly held that you need two things to make him into a Yisrael. They say that the Mila and the Tefila are not two Maisa Geiris at all. Just like by an Isha HaMizgayeres, it's only Tefila, so by an Isha it's also only Tefila. Except that the Orlos is Ma'akev in the Geiris. How can you have an Orl become a Geir? So you have to have, like a title of the Sheretz Bia, so you have to have first, he should be Ma'al Hashem Geiris, to remove the status of Orla. Once he removes the status of Orla, then the tefillah alone will accomplish that he becomes Yisrael Goma. But it's not Shnei Dvarim at all. It's not that the Milan tefillah. And the Rav Kamina will chab, what if b'di'evit you didn't have a bezin present b'shas Milo? What if you did the Milo and you didn't have a bezin? Usually when you have a bris on little babies, you have a lot of people there. Let's say you're adopting a little Isha HaMizgayeres. It's only Tvilo, so by an Isha it's also only Tvilo. Except that the Orlos is Ma'akev in the Geres. How can you have an Oral become a Ger? So you have to have, like a title of Sheret Bia, so you have to have first, he should be Ma'alishen Geres to remove the status of Orlo. Once he removes the status of Orlo, then the Tvilo alone will accomplish that he becomes Yisrael Goma. But it's not Shnei Dvarim at all. It's not that the Milan Tvilo. And the Rav Kamina will chab, what if b'di'evit you didn't have a bezin present b'shas milo? What if you did the milo and you didn't have a bezin? Usually when you have a bris on little babies, you have a lot of people there. Let's say you're adopting a little baby, you have a lot of people there, but none of them are Shomer Shabbos. There's only one Shomer Shabbos. The Moyel is a religious Jew. Or even if you have a lot of people Shomer Shabbos, they don't realize that this is a Goyish baby and they're doing a milo l'shem geiris. They think it's a Yiddish baby. They're adopting. They didn't realize that Goyish baby in this Mila is a Geirus. They thought a Yiddish baby. They came to. They didn't realize that they're constituting a Bezin. So the Pashto says that should not be a Bezin. When you speak about a Bezin for Kabbalah's Geirus, a Bezin means that they understand that they're Mekabal, that they're being Mekabal a Geir. Moshe Feinstein has a Shver Tshuva. Moshe talks about they were Mal, a Goyish baby, they were adopting a Goyish baby. So he says if there were three Shomer Shabbos there when they did the Bris Milo, three religious Jews watching, so he says that's considered a Bezin. So others already disagreed with Moshe. They said, how can it be? Now the Behuda writes with Feirish that in order to constitute a Bezin for Ger is to have to realize that they're being Mekabel a Ger. If they don't even realize that the person is a Goy and now he's becoming a Jew and this is a Maisa Ger, so that's not called a Bezin. A Bezin doesn't realize that they're making up a Bezin. That's an Ishken Bezin.
So if you have a Goy who can't have Mila, some sickness and maybe have
right.
So he can never become a Jew.
Most of the Pesukim hold he cannot become a Jew. If you have a Goy who cannot undergo, he has a health condition that he's not allowed to have Mila. So most of the Pesukim hold that he cannot become a Ger.
Mila alone wouldn't help.
Mila alone will not help. In Europe, there was a big machlokes about that. There was one Goy who had converted, and he wanted very much to convert. And he converted based on Rabbi Tzel Aponovich, who was a great Baal Mechadish. This is one of his chidushim, that a Goy who cannot have Mila because of a medical condition, okay, he wrote a whole pilpul, he can become a ger with tvila alone. So this guy, like some people hang up their ksuba in their home, and some people hang up their smicha, their degrees, the dentists or the doctors have their degrees hanging up. So this guy had a factory. Chaim Moshe came to get money, I think, for the Vada Yeshivas, and he has hanging on his wall his ksav geiris. And Rabbi Tzel Aponovich writes a whole shtickle Torah in the ksav geiris that he was megayer him with a tvila without a mila, because he had a heart condition, I think, he had a health condition, and he wasn't able to undergo mila. So Rav Chaim Moses saw that, he told the fellow that I hope you realize that he's still a goy, and sent a letter to Rav Bitzel upon a vision that he should stop paskin in shilas, he should say shtik lachtera, he shouldn't paskin any shilas. So big shilas laloch, there were some mothers who also thought that maybe he's right. See, Pesach Frank has a shtickle Torah in his tshuvas, maybe he's right. Abnei has a tshuvah, maybe he's right. They didn't quote the Rabbi Tzel Aponovich, but they write such a svar, maybe he's right. But the Pashtus is usually assumed like Rabbi Chaim Moshe. The Bnei Yisoscha has in his sefer, in the Derech Pikudecho, he has a sefer mitzvahs. He wrote his own sefer mitzvah. Every mitzvah has machshava, dibur, ma'aseh. Only goes to the middle of mishpat, doesn't go too far. He only has 58 mitzvahs. They're not sure whether he wrote on everything the rest was lost, or he never wrote on the rest, whatever. So he has a mitzvahs milah, so he talks about milah on Yiddish children, then he talks about milah on goyim, for the sake of geiris. So he also discusses, what if you have a goy who has a health condition, and he cannot have milah, so he says, so he cannot convert. He just clears a shaila, is he permitted to put his life into sakone? Is he allowed to be moiser nefesh for Yiddishkeit, he wants to know. Is he allowed to put his life into sakone in order to become a yid? So hot achidish that he's allowed to. It's a chidish that he's allowed to. That a guy is allowed to do a milah l'shem geiris, even though the doctors say that he may die,
he's permitted to do that, to put his life in danger in order to become
a never
is this a general question by a guy who was allowed to be Moisin Nefesh himself to save somebody or something like this? Is there such,
there's such a discussion also, yeah. There's such a discussion also. Whether a guy is permitted, is it a reshus for a guy to put his life in sakana?
What do you do with a guy?
So if a person will say like this, which is just the opposite from Rav Shmuel Salant. Shmuel Salant said that really the mila alone makes him into a Yisrael. The only thing is that he has the right to back out up until he does Sashver Avot. Where do you find such a thing? Back out Terke de Dibur is what to dream about. It's also Shver Avot. To back out after the Ger is Terke de Dibur.
Certain things, there's no backing out.
Right.
By Gerishim.
Mar says, Gitni Kiddushin, you can't back out on very serious issues, the Ram says, on very serious issues. Dvarm Hom, the Murmur Shalaylam. You cannot even back out Terke de Dibur. On Gerus. You can not only back out Terke de Dibur, you can back out even for a couple of weeks until you do the Tfilah. The whole thing is a Shver Avot. The whole thing does make sense. So the Pashtus is not only not like Rav Shmuel Salant, the Pashtus is the opposite from Rav Shmuel Salant. That it's not that the Geiris consists of the Mila, but he can back out till he does the Tvila Fakert. The Geiris consists of the Tvila, but the Mila is a Ma'akev, it's Hasaras Hamoneya. You want to get the Orlis out of the way. So that will happen up Kamina. What if there was no Bezin present? The Sri Deyesha has this truth. What if there was no Bezin present, or the Bezin didn't realize at the time of the Milo that this little baby is having a Milo, the Shen Geiris? Would it be good for the Evan or not? Do you need, if you hold that, you need a Bezin? If you are like the Rif, the Bezin's not Makiv at all. If you are like one day in Tais Bezin, only Makiv in the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. See, there is no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah by Ger Kotten. But if you hold like the other day, and where Rav Moshe says b'choishish for that, sasveiker adina, that the bezin is needed likuva for every ma'aser geiris. So what about for the milo? So hasvara nosen is that b'dieved the bezin will not be miyakid by the milo, because it's not a ma'aser geiris at all. It's just removing the ikuv that he shouldn't be an orel at the time that you do the tefillah. The only thing is that if you say like this, so the Rav and the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and others point out in the Yerideya there is a machlekes tesis in the Ramban. What if the Mila and the Tefillah were done out of order? What if they first did the Tefillah? Normally the Gemara says first you do the Mila and then you do the Tefillah. What if you did it out of order? What if first you did the Tefillah and the Mikveh and then you did the Mila? So there's a Machlekes HaRishonim about this. So what's the Shaila? So Rav Soloveitchik and the other Gedolim, they all say the same Biur. They all say the same Mahalach. Let's say a woman has to go to Mikveh Wednesday night. Wednesday night, she has a chasana, there's a function, she can't go to the mikveh. So let her go to the mikveh on Tuesday night, and she'll promise, the mikveh lady she won't be with her husband till. So it doesn't help.
Right.
If you go to mikveh before this month,
take the chnish.
There is not. Why? Because you can have a tefillah that's chalach alamit. It's kol sekinyonet. That's the lotion that Rav Soloveitchik, the other post can have. It's kol sekinyonet. There are some kinyonim, if I make, let's say the Gemara says, if I give a get now, and I say I want the get to Bichal next week, so if she still has the get, it's good. If the get is ripped up before the chalois, then it's no good. That's called sekinyonim. The maise kinyon vanished into thin air. Or let's say I'm mekadosh and isha bekesef. So the Gemara says, even if she ate up, I was mekadosh with food and she ate it up. I was mekadosh with money and she spent all the money. So thereby money, there's no kol sekinyonim, because if the kedushin is not chal, she has to give me back the money. She's going to have to give me a refund. So it's considered as if the money is still here. So it's still here. Even though she spent it, it's considered as if the money is still here. But let's say the man is mekadosh bediyah. And he says he wants the Kedusha Bia to be Chal next week. He doesn't want it to be Chal now. So the Gemara says, Kol se kinyon. Either it's Chal now or it's not Chal now. Or Kinyon Chalipin. Make a Kinyon Chalipin. I want it not to be Chal now, it should be Chal next week. So the Gemara says in the middle of Nedarim, in the Mems, Kol se kinyon. You can't have Chalipin Lachalamit. Either it's Chal now or it's not Chal at all. That's how most of the Rishonim hold it. You cannot have Chalipin Lachalamit because it'll be Kol se kinyon. So that's the Rav Soloveitchik, and the others say, if the Ger, Eino Ger at Sheyomo V'Yitzvah, you have to have Milo and you have to have Tefillah. So when he does the Milo, he's still not Jewish. And then he has to do the Tefillah. So by the time he does the Tefillah, so why don't you say that the Milo wore off already? So the answer is no. If the Milo was done, the Shem Geiris, yeah. So it's still here. He's still a Mohul. He's not an Oral anymore. The Orla was removed, and Alpidin, his status of Orla was removed. But if you're going to have it in the reverse order, first have the Tvila, and then you're going to have the Mila, so it's like Kol Sekinyona. Either the Tvila is Chal B'Shas Maisa, it's not Chal at all. So Hasvara Nasen, that's the way it should be. If you have the reversed order, if you're going to have first the tvila and then the mila, then it should be no good at all. Then it should be no good at all. If you say this biur, that is not at all shnei dvarim hamatirim. Oh, so you have to be tevil again. You have to be tevil again. Yeah. You say lama lasager. It's a different nusach. Like, instead of alamila, the Moshe says, "Son, lama lasager."
If that was the case, people present there.
The moel doesn't want to make it obvious usually when they adopt the baby, so he doesn't say the bracha out loud. Right, so he mutters the bracha under his breath, so the family shouldn't be embarrassed. What is it to be embarrassed? They have no children, so they adopted a goy, but that's what they usually do, they say it quietly. Chatzitza, the orla should be a chatzitza. I mean, it's oimit to be cut off. I don't know if you can call it oimit to be cut off. It's still a goy. It's still a goy. By goyim, there's nothing wrong with having an orla. This person is still a goy. So you can't say, if a woman has long hair, if a person has long fingernails, and it's oimit to be cut off, so then the shach quotes from the Rishonim that that's an issue of chatzitza. But if a goy has an orla, that's absolutely normal. So that's not a chatzitza. By a Jewish person who doesn't want to have the orla, then it's a shayla of a chatzitza. Yeah, so again, this issue that the Gemara has on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph and Menachos, this is really a big issue. That the Gemara in Yevamos and Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza related it, applied it to other areas. The Gemara only applies it to chalitza. If you hold that, chalitza with the rikika, both leikuvas, what if you had one yivama shirakako, that she's not allowed to have yibum, that should depend on this machlokes hatanaim, is that called a haschol of a chalitza? And the acharonim asked, why didn't the Gemara relate it to hafara, by the Naira Hamarasa? Why didn't the Gemara relate it to geirus? This opens up a big discussion. There is another big discussion in the Gemara in Psochim, regarding, in the end of Perek Rabbi Shmuel, the Mishnah speaks about when. Not in Perek Rabbi Shmuel, it's Perek Shtei Alechem. In the end of Perek Shtei Alechem, and that Kufam Beis in Yevamos. The Mishnah says in Menachos that the Shtei Alechem had to be baked on Erev Shavuos. And then when you bring it on Shavuos, then the Kohanim eat it. It has a status like Kotcha Kotcha. Like every mincha is Kotcha Kotcha. So it's never eaten on the same day that it was baked. It's baked on Erev Yontif and they eat it on Yontif. And sometimes if Erev Yontif is Shabbos, so you have to bake it on Erev Shabbos, so you eat it on the third day. You don't eat it on the day it's baked, you don't eat it the next day, you eat it on the third day. And the Mishnah says the same regarding Lechem Aponim. But the Lechem Aponim is always baked on Friday, you put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and then you take it off of the Shulchan next Shabbos, so you eat it 8 days after it was baked. And if Erev Shabbos happens to be Yontif, so then you have to bake it on Thursday. And if it's 2 days Rosh Hashanah, even Mizman HaMikdash, sometimes they have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so they have to bake it on Wednesday, and then they eat it 10 days later. They eat it 10 days later. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim in Psochim on daf mem zayin amid aleph. The Gemara quotes this Mishnah. The Gemara there has a three-way machlokes hatanaim. One Tana is of the opinion that you're allowed to bake the shtei alechem on Shavuos even when Shavuos falls out on Shabbos. That's Rav Lezer. We learned Rav Lezer and Mila. Rav Lezer and Mila. Rav Lezer says that when the Shmini, when you have a mila bismana on Shabbos, not only are you permitted to do the mila itself, you're even permitted to do the machshirim shef shalasis mbog yom. Let's say you could have made the knife, you could have carried the knife on Erev Shabbos, doesn't matter. You're permitted to manufacture a knife on Shabbos, on the Yom HaShmini Lemilo, in order to have a knife, in order to do the bris mila. The Mishnah says the Mekomosha Rav Lezer in his community, they used to break down branches from the tree on Shabbos when it was a Shmini, when there was a bris mila on Shabbos. They'd break down branches to make a fire, to melt metal, to manufacture a knife. And they would carry the knife in the street in order to do the mila on Shabbos, to show how chaviv. The mitzvah mila is that it's deicha Shabbos from A to Z. So just like Rav Lezer, the Gemara says there on Rav Lezer in the mila that his shita is not a special, unique din in Hilchas Bris Mila. It's a din in all almost all machshirei mitzvah. Any mitzvah which is mana b'Shabbos, is that even if there's no Chilul Shabbos involved in the mitzvah, let's say Netilas Lulav. Netilas Lulav. Netilas Lulav doesn't, Minatera, there's no problem. Kiyah Shofar, there's no problem. But even though to blow shofar there's no problem, if you don't have a shofar, you're permitted to cut the shofar off in the animal's body and to scrape it out, which is mamish makam apatish a malacha, or to cut off the lulav and the esek from the tree, which is a malacha. You're not yotzei if you hold the lulav and the esek while it's still attached to the tree. That's mavur in the Gemara and Shabbos and Perek of Blazer de Mila. Blazer holds that you're permitted to cut off the lulav and the esek on the tree on minatayra on Shabbos. On Shabbos you're allowed to cut it off. So who adinami, Rav Blazer holds that even if Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, you're permitted to bake the shtei alechem on Shabbos. So needless to say, we don't pass on like Rav Blazer by the Milo, we pass in Nachshirim Shef Shalasis Mbod Yom by Bris Milo on Adecha Shabbos, as not Adecha Shabbos over here either. But still, the next Tana holds, if Shavuos falls out on a weekday, if Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, so we understand why you're not allowed to bake the shtei alechem on Shabbos. But if Shavuos falls out on a weekday, so it's Dachmam Shechel Nefesh. So on Yontav you're permitted to bake things that you plan to eat on Yontav. So this Tana says you're permitted to bake the shtei alechem on Shavuos because the Kohanim are going to eat it today. On Shavuos is regular Echel Nefesh. We don't even pass like that Shita. The Gemara says we pass like the Mishnah on Daf Kuf on the base and Menaches that the shtei alechem have to be baked. An Erev Shavuos, an Erev Yontav, even though Yontav falls out on a weekday. So the Gemara there in Psochem asks the Kasha, why not? So the Gemara says, no, because we learn off in the Pasuk Lachem, Velo Lagavoya, a special din Lachem, Velo Lagavoya. The Gemara has a whole discussion there. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Why shouldn't it be Mutta? The Gemara says, shouldn't it depend on the Machlekes Rabbe V'Rav Chizde? Why shouldn't it be Mutta? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, it's a special Gzeres HaKosu Lachem Velo Lagavoya, that you're not allowed. That's how we pass in Alok HaLamais, that you're not permitted to bake the Shtei Lechem, even if even if Yontif falls out on a weekday, it's not permissible. The Rishonim at the end of Psochim, the Rif, at the end of Psochim quotes all of the dinim of Sfira Soimer. So the Baal Hamor there asks Akasha that others have a whole, there's a whole literature on this Kasha. If you observe 2 days Pesach because of Sveika the Yoima, and you have to start counting Sfirim, Mimochras HaShabbos, the day after the first day Pesach. So we're not sure which is the first day Pesach, but we in Chutzlos have 2 days Pesach, because we're not sure whether it's the first day, or the first day is Erev Yontav, and the second day is the first day Pesach. So why don't we count every day Sfiras Lema Sveika the Yoima? Why don't we count 2 days Sfir? In other words, the second Seder we should count Hayom Yamechad Ba'omer, and then to the first night Chalamoid Bayaz, like we should count, right, like the Kriyas HaTorah. So the first night Chalamoid we should say Hayom Yamechad Ba'omer, Hayom Shnei Yamim Ba'omer. We should count Sveika Diyom. That's the Baal Hamor's Kasha. So there's a whole literature on this Kasha. So the Baal Hamor himself gives the Teretz. He says if you're going to keep on counting every day Sveika Diyom, so what are you going to do when you get to the end? The end, so on the 49th night, you'll say tonight is either the 49th night or the 48th night. Okay? And then what are you going to do, Leil Shavuos? You're going to say tonight, you're going to daven and shul with Baruch Hu, with the Yontav Diganig, and you're going to say Mekadosh Yisrael Hazmanim and Yalav Yovim and Hasiyenu, the whole Yontav Digan Shmoneh Esrei. And then, before Aleinu, the rabbi is going to count tonight is the 49th night of Sfira, and tomorrow night may be Yom Tov.
The reason the Sfira of the Yom is that the Shluch of the Bez is going to reach at a certain point. But by the time, 3-4 weeks later, they'll all know already when they're trying to hear.
But we still keep Shavuos 2 days.
But we have Shavuos 2 days.
Right. The Rambam asks your kasha. The Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh asks your kasha. That by the time it came Shavuos, everybody must have known already. So the Rambam says they did know, and the reason why they observed 2 days Yontav is Otu Pesach and Otu Sukkot. And he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the second parak, where the Gemara says that there are mekayimis where the shluchei Nisan hoyim agim and the shluchei Tishrei lo hoyim agim, because even though Pesach and Sukkot both start on the 15th of the month, but in the month of Nisan, they have the whole first 14 days to travel to notify everybody when Rosh Chodesh was, when Pesach is going to be. Whereas in the Chodesh Tishrei, they can't travel on Rosh Hashanah, they can't travel on Yom Kippur, can't travel on Shabbos. Shabbos is the same, but the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur takes off 2 days. So there were certain mekaymas, there was a certain area of about 50 miles or so, 50, 60 miles, 2 days traveling, 2 days walking or traveling, where the shluchei nisn higiyu, and the shluchei tishrei lo higiyu. So the Gemara says you shouldn't think that they only observe 2 days sukkahs, but they don't observe 2 days Pesach. Zog the Gemara, nein, in any community would have to observe 2 days.
Any
yontif, 2 days sukkahs, then they have to observe also 2 days Pesach. So the Rambam says that's what the second day Shavuos is all about. It never makes any sense by anybody. And the only reason why we have to observe 2 days Shavuos is because up to 2 days Sukkot and 2 days Pesach. But the Baal HaMor obviously holds not so. I remember the Rav when he discussed that Rambam, he said he doesn't see what the Kash is. There were some places where they were so far away from Yerushalayim that the Shluchim didn't reach even before Shavuos. What's it? Who says that it's a Kash in the first place? So the Baal HaMor obviously holds like that. Because the Baal HaMor asks this kasha, why don't we count every day Sveika D'Yomer? So he answers, if you'll count Sveika D'Yomer, Sfira Sa'imer, what are you going to do? So the last night before Shavuos, you say, tonight is either 48 or 49. And then tomorrow night is going to be Shavuos. Then on Leil Shavuos, you're going to count, tonight may be 49, and tonight is Erev Shavuos, and tomorrow night is going to be Shavuos. So he says it'll be a Zilusa D'Yontif, it'll be a Bizoin for Yontif, to tell Sfira on Yontif. To say that tonight may not be Shavuos. So he says that the last night, you're not going to count in this Sveika D'Yomer Sfira. The last night, namely Leil Shavuos, you're not going to count. So once you're not going to go all the way to the end, you're not going to count to the end. See, according to what the Rambam says, that all over the world they had already found that. They already know when Pesach was and when the Sfira began. So nowhere in the world was there going to be a Sveika D'Yomer. So you observe 2 days Shavuos, Otto Sukkos, Otto Pesach, but you still stop counting Sfira. So the Baal HaMor obviously holds not like the Rambam.
Well, the first 20, 25 days one can make Sveika D'Yomer.
Okay, so that's a good kasha, but the Baal HaMor's teretz wouldn't apply. According to the Rambam, the Baal HaMor's teretz wouldn't be correct. So you see, the Baal HaMor holds that it's possible that there are places in the
world. Pesach, the first, second night, second Seder night, we count Sfira.
It's the opposite. The whole the yontif is midirabbanan. The sphere is the ikur. The sphere is minatayra. Even if your sphere bismanazes midirabbanan, the Magen Avraham paskins mikra din sphere saim bismanazes midirabbanan because there's no mincha saimer. And the sphere saim is bimrochas hashabbos mayam haviyachem saim atnufa.
Is that why some people have a mincha?
Shouldn't be touched.
They say that that's a Sephardish minhag that the Chassidim have. No, they say the reason is based on the Zohar. But the Zohar says that in the middle of Yimei HaSfira, you're not allowed to say Halol Shalom Halanes. You're not allowed to say Halal Shalom Halal Nes. In the morning of the second day Pesach, the Halal Shalom is for the Yontif, for the Simchas Yontif. Right. So Simchas Yontif, that kind of Halal you can say even in the middle of Sfira. But Halal Shalom Halal Nes, the Halal of Leil Pesach is a Halal on Yitzias Mitzvah, Halal Halal Nes. A Halal on Yontif you don't say Balayla. It's a Mishnah Megillah that Halal is only fulfilled by Yom. You say Halal Balayla, you're not Yotzi. So how can we say Halal Balayla on Leil Pesach? So the Achranim say that's a different Halal, it's a Halal B'Shas HaNes. Allah B'Shas HaNes is even Balala. Why is it B'Shas HaNes? Because Shira. You have to feel as if you just left in time tonight. So Allah B'Shas HaNes, that you could even say Balala. So Allah B'Shas HaNes, the Zohar says that such a Halo Shalom should not be recited during the Me'as Sfira. So that's why the minig is based on that Zohar, that they don't count Sfira till after they've already finished the whole Halo Shalom on Leil Pesach. And the halal we're going to say in the morning will not pose a problem. That's what the Achrayim point out.
The halal on this, the Tzias Mitzchayim was first in the morning. It was Machoikin, so you only have it. I thought it was because of the Makulas and San Chayav Sami that you say, that happened in the light Pesach, that you say halal.
Why the Kriyas Yamsuf was Balayla? Was Balayla, no?
Was
it saying?
Was it in the morning?
So, but we were saying halal for the Yeshua that we had. The Gula was Balayla. The Tchilas HaGula was Balayla. The Gemara says Tchilas Agula was Balan.
The Halal is not because of the what happened in the time of Kiyuk, the Lail Skadish Chak, that the Agula of the Sanchei was
Almin. No, the Rishonim say that we say in the Haggadah. Chod over there, Chayvam Liu Satsin Kiliyat Musam, Leficha Chanachna Chayovim Lehodus Lahal Shabek Lefer, Nam Lefer Shiva Chadosh, Haluka, Haluka. So he says because of the Kiyuk Hu Yatsim in Mitzrayim, because of the Yitzis Mitzrayim that occurred.
Just think, you say count a sphere of the suffix, isn't that the whole problem?
That's
not a sphere
of all.
Should be something definite?
That's right. That's one of the other terrors.
That's
the Dvar Avram has that teretz. Yeah. The Kovner Rav has that teretz in his sefer, and that's what Rav Shimon Shkop in the Shari Yosha quotes. He says he saw in a certain sefer, and I forgot where. That's in the Kovner Rav sefer that Bechayev they were pretty much contemporaries. Bechayev his sefer was such a hit; it was so popular. The Rav Shimon had already read it and he forgot where he saw it. So he quotes that Rav Shimon has a whole shtickel Torah based on that. That if you have a sphere, a misofek, if you count today is either the 48th night or the 47th night, you're not sure. So the Dvar Avram has a chiddush, he wants to say that that's not counting at all. It's not considered counting at all. So that's the Dvar Avram, that's Rav Shimon's Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that Torah. He said he didn't think that it was correct, and he asked the Kovner Rav, what about Bismanhu Amoroim, Bismana Tanoim Bamoroim, when they really had a real Sveik of the Yoma before Hillel HaSheni established the Luach? They mean to say that they never counted Sfira Soima Misafek, when they had a real Sveik of the Yoma. The Pashtus says that they counted. They're both possibilities. From the Gemara, you never find any marker in the Gemara that they didn't count Sfira Soima because that there was a real Sveik of the Yoma. So it would appear that it is called a Sfira. Sfira Misafik is called a Sfira. The Rishonim who asked the Kasha don't give that teretz. That's the Dvar Avram and the Rav Shimon Shkop, they give that teretz. Somebody printed this teretz in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik said in the Shir, remember years ago, he said that he visited the Kovner Rav for a few weeks. It was a relative of his. It's also, he's a descendant also from Abchaim Balazhin, from the Beis Aram. And he told him over his teretz, Rav Soloveitchik didn't know it from the Sefer. He didn't know it. Rav Zevin quotes it also. Remember, people thought at that time Rav Soloveitchik was just gambling from Hamoadim Halacha. But then as he continued, as he proceeded into the Shias, it came out, had nothing to do with Rav Zev, nothing to do with the Dvar Avram. He says he heard it from him. And he says, and I argued with him, how could it be? So you mean to tell me that until the days of Hillel HaSheni, that's in the days of Abai Barov in Bovil, that's when Hillel HaSheni was Masakna Luach and Eretz Yisrael. So I mean, up until the days of Abai Barov, when they had a real Sveik of the Yomah, they never counted Sphira. So they said it wouldn't appear so in the Gemara, they always counted Sphira. So that's what the Rav thought, that the Rishonim were right, that you can count a Sphira Misaf. But that's the Bala Moris teretz. The Bala Moris says that since you don't plan to finish all the way till the end, because on the last night, namely, on Leil Shavuos, it'll be a bizayin to the Kedushas HaYom of Yontif. You say on the second night of Pesach, we do count Sphira. Why? Because the Sphira is either Min HaTorah, or even though we pass in Sphira, some of his man is at the Rabbanim, but the Sphira is Dika, not Bekinim Bekvir Diyarcha. So we know Medina, you're supposed to count Sphira. And the Yantav Sheni is the Chumrah. So what do you mean it's a design of Yantav? So you're telling me not to count Sphira? No. The Sphira is more important than the Yantav over there. The Sphira is Medina, and the Yantav is Mimin Hagar. The Yantav is only Shemiach Sadova Lekulkula. So there you certainly count your Sphira, even though it's in Sphira to the Yantav. But on the last day, yep. On the first night of Shavuos, what are you going to do? The Shavuos is the Raisa, and the whole Sphira Soima, the Sveik Ed Yom, is going to be with the Rabbanon. So that's what the Bala Moris says. So then you're not going to count Sphira on that night. So if you're already not going to count the 49th night, like, so you may as well leave out the whole Sphira Soima.
Isn't that really a
focus
on the long term of Sukkah? Yes, the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, so the two Amoram would disagree with that concept. Isn't the
Hezbollah
one?
Yeah. Okay. So you have to figure out how this Balamor corresponds to that sugya. Okay. We pass them that you do sit in sukkah, just you don't say a bracha. So the Balamor himself asks that, I think. So why don't you count Sphira without a bracha? So why don't you count Sphira without a bracha? So he says no. On the Leil Shavuos. Like over there on the Shmini Atzeres, what do we do? We sit in Sukkah without a bracha. So why not on the first night of Shavuos count Sphira without a bracha? So the answer is no. Counting Sphira even without a bracha is already a stira to the Kedushas HaYom of Yontif. Sailing Sphira even without a bracha is a stira. But sitting in Sukkah per se is not a stira. Sometimes people sit in Sukkah, it's nice in the summertime. If the weather is pleasant, say you sit in Sukkah, the children sit in the hut, they're outside, people sit outside. So on Shmini Atzeres, only sitting in Sukkah with a bracha is a stira. Sitting in Sukkah without a bracha per se is not a stira. But counting svira is always a stira. I think the Baal HaMaor himself says that. And the end of Pesachim.
Why should a bracha make a difference?
It's not counted. Yeah, but like a chilev, you're going to say
but the bracha makes it more obvious that...
The mitzvah is the time.
Right.
So the bracha is only after.
That's when you...
Right. So the Baal HaMaor says counting even without a bracha is already a stira. Is already a bizoyin of Kedushas Yontif. But he says sitting in Sukkah without a bracha is not a bizoyin to Yontif, only sitting in Sukkah with a bracha. Either bracha is only with the Rabbanah, no, but this reciting of the bracha, Leishabas Sukkah, demonstrates that it's Hashana Rabbe. What do you mean Hashana Rabbe? It's the Shmini Atzeres Menat Torah. Yeah, so he said that's what makes it. The Lashem Yichud makes it a stira with the Yontif. That's what the Baal HaMaor said.
That what?
It
says
that the problem of the Lord relates to the time of the Beit Shemesh.
Yeah.
If that is the case, regardless, even if the Beit Shemesh has erred by a day, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael there's only one day Pesach, one day Shavuos, and one Sfiras Omer. But we in Chutz Lortz live far away from Eretz Yisrael. So even though now we have a luach, the luach is printed way in advance, but the Gemara says we should still observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, because years ago they had a Sfeika of the Omer, because they didn't know when did the Bezdin declare Pesach, the first day or the second day. So because of that suffix, they observe 2 days Pesach and 2 days Shavuos. If everything is suffix, so that's the Baal HaMaor's kasha. You act as if you're not sure which day was Pesach. So why not count Sfiras Omer? A double sphere? The whole kasha is based on that Sfeik of the Yom. And Eretz Yisrael, there is no Sfeik of the Yom. You're right. And that's all. If you know when Pesach is, so there's no Sfeik of the Yom on the Sfiras Omer? Yeah? Right? That's what the Dvar Avram. That's the Dvar Avram and Rav Shimishkum. The early Amorayim before Abai v'Rav, they had a real Sveik of the Yomah. So that was the Rav's Taina, that you're going to tell me that they never counted Sphere? The Gemara says they all counted Sphere. It doesn't say anywhere that there was a period of time that the people in Chutzlos had a real Sveik of the Yomah, didn't count Sphere. So he said the whole terrace, he thought that the terrace of the Dvar Avram was not correct. You can be Miyashiv the Kasha, the Netziv has in his commentary on Chumash and Parashas Emor, that even Bizman, Shekitcho, Piyari, and there was a real Sveik of the Yoyma, it was still a bluff. It was not a real Sveik of the Yoyma. He says you had a right to go Bosa Raif, that Raif Shanim, Oda was Chasim, and Ella was Chasim, so he gives a Gitzachan Eitzi, because he says they never fasted 2 days Yom Kippur. So he said, if it's a real Sveik of the Yoyma, so let it be a real Sveik of the Raisa of the Chumra, observe 2 days Yom Kippur. So he says, you see Mufurish from the Gemara, that it was never a Sveik of the Raisa. Even when there was a real Sveik of the Yoyma before Kitcho, Piyah, the 2 days Yonta was either with the Rabbon or a Minig. Then Gufa there's a Shaila, whether it was a Minig or the Rabbon, but it was never a real Sveik of the Raisa. So maybe you can say that Lagabi Sfiras Omer, they never introduced the Chumrah because it'll kill the whole Sfiras Omer. The Kafarem for the Rav's Kasha, but that's what the Rav Tainet. He thought that the Dvar Rom's Teretz was wrong. He thought the Rishonim were right, that you can count the Sveik of the Omer and Sfira, and it won't be Mavatal Sfira. Right, so you go bus arrive. You go bus arrive.
Says the Gemara came in. He came.
The Gemara tells in the Rosh Hashanah there was once a story like that, right?
No, but
that's a different story. No, it's a different story. Because it wasn't really Yom Kippur. That's a different. No, but the Gemara tells a story. Ula.
Yeah.
And then they told him that it's not Yom Kippur. No, but the Gemara tells a story. One of the Amorim came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, and they were observing Yom Kippur on the wrong day. Mamish, they observe it on the wrong day.
This payment for the Baal HaMaor, isn't that really tied to the issue of whether separateness of each
state account or the Baal HaMaor? That's the Shaila. Why does the Baal HaMaor assume that just because there's a problem on the last day, so the last night of Shavuos he won't count, in order not to have a steer to the other? Why not count the other 47 days? Yeah. So it sounds as if, along the lines of the Bahag, as if you missed counting the 20th day, can't count the 21st day. And the Poshup Shat in the Bahag, not the Rav's interpretation, the Poshup Shat in the Bahag, the way the Primogodim and the classical Poskim assume it, the Bahag also, the Sheva Sheva says, Tmimis means that all the 48 spheres are marked from Zuzu. So let's say a person knows, the doctors told him that he's going to die before Shavuos. The government told him he's going to be executed, they're going to give him the electric chair, whatever. He's going to die, he's going to get killed before Shavuos. So according to the Bahag, he shouldn't even count, he shouldn't even begin counting with a Brocha Asvara. Because you know that all the 48 Amakim Zezeh, you know in advance? Or the Mishnah Brura says that the women count Svira on our Brocha because we know in advance that they're going to forget later on. So we tell them not to count with the Brocha to begin with. The Mishnah Brura seems like that. That if you know in advance that you're not going to last till the end, so the Bahag Shita already sets in now. The Rav Zichron Livracha had a different interpretation in the Bahag. That's what he had. It's popular pshat. The Bahag never said that Ma'akfim Zezeh, that all the 48 are Ma'akfim Zezeh. They're not Ma'akfim Zezeh. You can count tonight, even though there are 47 more chances that you may forget. It doesn't bother me if you forget, so tonight's mitzvah you have, and tomorrow's mitzvah you won't have. But the Bahag just meant to say, how can you count 20? If you didn't count 19, there has to have Hamshechius, you have to have Ritzifus. If you're missing 19, you can't count 20. If you're missing 30, you can't count 31. And the other Rishonim hold also there's a din of Ritzifus, but it's Medayik from the Lashon of the Sefer Achinuch, that since Klal Yisrael is counting, so there, that's the Lashon of the Sefer Achinuch. Since everybody else is counting, so that's enough for your... That enables you to continue to count also. Their counting helps for you that you should continue to count. But the Mishnah Brura and the Pima Gadim, the classical custom understood along the lines of the Balamor that the Geder Hadin of Tmimais is that all the 48 are Makvim Zezeh. Bemis and the Gemara, talks about Tmimais. The Gemara has a different shot in Tmimais. The Gemara says that the Sphere of Sama should be Balayla as opposed to Bayom, because if you're going to count Bayom, then it's not going to be Tmimais. Tmimais means you should count B'tchilos HaLayla. And as soon as some Rishonim, the Tur quotes, I think, the Maharam Rutenberg, others quote the Maharam Rutenberg, you should count as early as possible. Let's say you know that the Tzeisa Kechavim was a Chveis, 8:45. So you shouldn't wait to count Sphere at 10 o'clock. If you have a possibility, you should count right away at 8:45. Shouldn't wait till later. She can't B'tchilos HaLayla. Why? In order to have as much of the 24-hour period of the day included in the Sphere, that it should be Tmima. So the Gemara seems to understand that Tmima means on the Sphere of each day should be a Sphere of Tmima. You should count as much of the day, as much of the day should be included in the Sphere as possible. The Sphere should be in advance of the whole day. And the Bahag is the first one, the Bahag with this Balamor, they came up with this new Einfall. That Tmimas means on the unity of all the 48 days. That's what the Masas Binyamin has in Shulchan Aruch. They put the Taz and the Magen Avraham both quote from the Masas Binyamin and Minig that in the first night of Shavuos you shouldn't say Kiddush before Tzeisa Kechavma. You shouldn't have Meirev, different Minhagim that they quote because of the din of Tmimas. What's the problem of Tmimas? You already counted Tmimas last night. You counted Sfira Sam last night. What's the problem now? Subsanuvar. That the unity of the 48 days should be B'tmimis, that you should have a full unit of 48 days. That's not what it has, the 49. It's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara has T'mimis means that this, each night's Sphere should be to cover as much of the day as possible. And the Masas Binyamin...
Yeah,
you're not really taking
that
away.
So
you've started the second time. You start. Tell it to start when it
you're not really taking away. You're not really taking away.
Should you? Why don't you count
say it's going to start when it has to start?
Night of Shavuos. Why does it Tisru Chamishim Yom?
Yeah, the Rosh in the end of Psachim asks that question. So he said that's not what it means. He says when it says 50, it really means you only count 49. Like it says, how many Jews came down to Mitzrayim, so it says Shivim Nefesh. And then Rashi points out that there were only 69 there. It says in the Chumash that you give 40 times Malkus, and the Mishnayis and Malkus learn out that it's only 39 Malkus. So to over here, because you have to divide it by 3. The Malkus has to be Ruyas
L'Hishtalot. Why count 50 at all? Why not? It's Shiva Shavuos.
So you only count. You only count 49.
Why did they add Chamishim?
I mean, up until the 50th day is Shavuos. That's how the Rosh explains. It doesn't mean
it's 240. You must have one number that comes
up. Yeah. The Shaila is if you hold not like that Bahag and the Balamor, that Tmimois only refers to the daily sphere, should be the Tmimus. And there is no such halacha that the unit, there's no unit of 49 days. So then this whole idea of waiting till Tzeisa Kehavim hasn't gone so no mocker. So that's what the later Achrenim came up with, the new Ein Fad. The Netziv has in his commentary on Chumash and Emor, and Rabbi Tzalel Vilner, that's the older brother of Rabbi Shlomo Vilner. He, Rabbi Shlomo Vilner, was a genius, and his older brother was a genius square. Malodik, a genius agavi genius. So he has in his Sefer Reishis Bikurim, has this Ein Fad. Nothing to do with Mimois. No, the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, Be'etzem Ayayim Azeh. And etzim only regarding Shavuos. On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, and Sukkot, it doesn't say that. Only regarding Shavuos, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Etzem Hayom Hazeh means only Be'itzum Shel Yom, only when it comes the day itself. It says, Te'anu es nafshe seichem. Right, the Gemara says it by Yom Kippur also. Adirabba, that's the marker. The Gemara says that the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that there is a requirement to be Moisef Mechoel ala Kodesh on Yom Kippur, but there's no chorus. If you eat during this man of Tosefes, you do malacha during this man of Tosefes, there's no chorus. If you eat on Yom Kippur, you do malacha on Yom Kippur, there's an Einish chorus. But if you eat or you do malacha during this man of Tosefes, there's no chorus, because the pasuk says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So sometimes we take the word Be'etzem to mean daytime as opposed to the night before, like over here. Aretzem Hayom Hazeh means Aditzum Shel Yom, means the daytime of Tes Zionis, and as opposed to Leil Tes Zionis. But over here, the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Chav Ches doesn't understand to mean the daytime as opposed to the nighttime, but rather the nighttime after Tzeis HaKachom as opposed to the Zman Tosefes. So that's what these Gdolim, Rab Shlomo, Rab Tzalel Vilna with the Netziv, they came up, they were more or less contemporaries. They were contemporaries, but they came up with this Ein Fad. That the Masis Ben Yomin is right, V'lav Mitamei! No, it's a real pasuk that says that there's no Tosefes on Shavuos, period. It says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that you cannot be Moisef Mechoel ala Kodesh. Okay, it's late.
Yes,
Tom. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good
night.
Yeah?
And the Rosh said, you need 12. 10 plus 2. So that was one issue. We'll get into Shulchan Aruch. We'll see. Let me quickly move on. Let's talk about the issue of this answering Amen. Somebody else made a bracha. These people made the bracha. And he answered Amen. Now, one very important issue is, there are two issues I want to discuss about this. Number one is, why was it necessary for him to answer Amen? Now, there's something about, normally, let's say if you have to make a bracha, can I make it for you? For example, Kiddush. Let's say you didn't make Kiddush yourself Shabbos, and your husband or some other person made the Kiddush. Can you be Yotze through the Kiddush? Now, is it necessary to say Amen?
No.
The truth is, Amen. You don't have to say Amen. You just have to hear it. And that's called Shomea Ka'ona. Listening to a bracha is like saying it yourself. So for example, when you have to, now this is talking about a bracha that you have to make, okay? So let's say you hear Kiddush, we all answer Amen, because why not? You hear a bracha, you say Amen. But the truth is, even if you didn't say Amen, but you listen to the bracha from beginning to end, you are Yotze. So I don't have, if somebody said Kiddush, and made Bracha to Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos, finished the Kiddush Friday night, you heard it, you don't have to say Amen.
Yeah. It's only if the person who's saying the bracha has a fear.
Oh,
in this case, it doesn't
have a fear. Very good. Okay, very good.
But
that's
it's
exactly
chayang.
What?
I think that's the point, that it's recognizing that the person who was free of the sakana was really chayav. So he's saying amen to recognize that perhaps he was chayav the sakana and he was freed from it.
No, but I'm just questioning, why is it necessary for the person? The problem that I'm raising is, these people who came to visit Rabbi Yehuda made the bracha. He heard the bracha and he said amen. Now, why was it necessary for him to say amen? Why not just say that anything? So Esther answered, which is one of the answers given by the Rishonim, is that we can't apply the ruling of Shomea Ka'ona, which means by just listening, it's as if you said it, we can't apply it, because that only applies where the person who made the bracha is also chayav to say the bracha. But why does he have to say amen? Here the case wasn't that he was still sick in bed. First of all, he wouldn't make the bracha until he recovered. Remember, the bracha is not made until he recovers. So the Gemara is talking about this person who did recover from the illness. Now, he did answer, he heard the bracha, but he also answered amen. So one answer given, I think the tour mentioned it. Did you see that in the tour? Anybody get to that? One answer given by Rishonim is that this idea of Shamea Ka'ona, which means what? That by listening, it's as if you said it, even though, right, you don't have to answer a name. That's only true if the person who is making the blessing for you is also chayiv to make the blessing. Now, in this particular case, so then if somebody says, I make Kiddush, I'm also chayiv in Kiddush. So if you hear me making Kiddush, you don't have to answer a name. I mean, we do it, why not? But you don't have to answer a name. By just listening to my Kiddush, and I'm chayiv in the Kiddush just like you are, then you can be yotzit from my Kiddush. However, in our case, what happened in our case? These people who came to visit her, they're not chayiv in making the bracha. They're not chayiv at all. So, since they're not chayiv at all, and they made it, for him to be yotzei through the bracha that these people made, it's not enough just to listen. But you have to, he has to answer amen. By saying amen, then it's as if he's actually making the bracha himself. Okay? So that's why you need the amen here. This, yeah?
Just a quick practical case. If you're making Kiddush a second time, you heard Kiddush and Shul, you're making it over again in the house from whoever you're making it for. So therefore you're ready, Yotzei. So then do the people have to answer amen?
No, there's a concept of Arvus, which means...
So the Arvus itself then becomes your
maybe. See, I don't understand how far... I don't know, but apparently Arvus would not apply here. I can't go into if you don't know what... Right? Okay. Now, otherwise you have to say maybe, then it's necessary to say a name, right? If you're already Yotzei Kiddush, maybe you would have to say a name again. Okay, so this is, now there's another answer given, a very interesting answer that is given by Rabbi Kiva Eger. Again, I'll tell it to you because we don't have the time to read it. Okay, that's a good, I'll deal with that in a second. Very good question. I'll deal with that in a second. There's another answer given is as follows. If somebody else is making the bracha, how would he say it? Let's take the text of the bracha as we have it. Bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaKol Melech HaYodim Tovos. Now, can you say Shigmolan? You can't say Shigmolani. Shigmolcha, right? Shigmolcha Kol Tov. If I sang the bracha for you, I couldn't say Shigmolani because it's not true. It's not, I didn't get the chesed from Hashem. This other person did. So you'd have to say HaKol Melech HaYodim Tovos Shigmolcha. He doesn't have the chiyuv. He doesn't have it. The other people did not have it.
So
what Rabbi Akiva Eger answers is, Shomea Ka'ona can't work here because they didn't say Gmolani. When I listen, I'm listening Shigmolcha. Now, if I were to say, I'm the one who needs the bracha. If I were to say Shigmolcha, then I would not be talking about myself. So when they say, and they say Shigmolcha, just listening is not going to do it, Rabbi Akiva Eger says. Why the amen can correct it. So the Rabbi Akiva Eger feels that if you say amen, then it's like you're really saying the hodah, the thanksgiving yourself, by saying the word amen. But without the word amen, since they don't say gemolani, they say gemolcha, that's why you need the word amen. Okay. That is one important issue. There's another issue. And that is, the Gemara is giving us a case where other people, and let me deal with your question as well. How could these people say the bracha anyway? Isn't it a bracha?
Still going?
Yeah. Isn't it a bracha levatala? How could they make a bracha? They're not chayiv in this. But still, if I said, Baruch HaTo Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, HaKol Melech HaYodim Tov, Shigmolcha. Okay, so again, I don't know if you caught this in the Rishonim point out that since I can say it, the Derech Shevach, I'm giving Shevach to Hashem because I'm very happy that my friend, right, my colleague, was delivered from this crisis. So I'm saying it, the Derech Shevach. I'm giving Shevach to Hashem that this person was delivered. I have the right to say that. It's not a bracha about Tala for me to say it. Whether you'll be Yotze or not, that'll depend on how you react when you hear the bracha. And what kind of a reaction do we need? Let's say Amen. So I can say it, because I'm not saying it because I'm chayv. I'm saying it because I'm very happy that you were delivered from that crisis. So I can therefore say it. And the truth is, Rishonim point out that I can even say it without 10 people. You won't be Yotze. In a sense, you won't be Yotze if there aren't 10, let's say. Yes. I can say it, because I'm saying it b'derach sheva. It's such an interesting thing. I can say it. Whether you'll be Yotze, you know, it depends if the criterion are met, which means you need 10 people, you got to say Amen. But as far as I, who am the one who I'm the spectator, I'm the visitor who's saying it, because I'm so happy that you're alive and that you're well, I can say it because it's there, it's Sheva. Okay? Now, another issue is this true for any time? Is it true that any time I can say a bracha, I can say this bracha sadama for somebody else? Can a husband say it for a wife? Can a friend say it for another friend? Because in this particular case, now these people came to visit Rav Yehuda. Who were they? Were these Talmidim of Rav Yehuda? Now we're going to see that Rishonim understood that these people were Talmidim of Rav Yehuda. So the thing is, this only halacha a tam to a Rebbe? Or is it true for anybody? Now we'll see, that's very important for us, okay? I'm going to try to go through that issue by going through Shulchan Aruch. Let me just now raise another issue. For what kinds of situations must the Birchas HaGomo be said? Now we know that there are these four situations the Gemara has given us, right? What about other situations? So did you see that the Rush... The Rush, what did the Rush say? The Rush mentioned, if you take a look, he talks about people who are traveling from city to city. Let's go to that Rush, which is page 3 of the booklet again. And he says, right after where we left off, at the end of the line, it says, V'na'agu ba'ashkenaz. He says there's a custom in Ashkenaz, which is Germany. The Rush, Rabbi Rush lived in Germany. And he says that the custom in Germany is, Ubitzorfas, also in France, She'ein levarchen birchas hagomel kishaholchen me'ir le'ir, that we do not make a birchas hagomel when people travel from city to city. The svir lehush lo hitzrichu lahodos ela holchen midbarios. The shchichi bo achayos velistim. That the only time it's required to make a Birchas HaGomel is if you're traveling through the desert where there are dangerous animals, there are robbers to be afraid of. So it's only such a situation where there's a requirement of Birchas HaGomel. But just simply traveling from city to city, there, the minute in Germany and France was that there's no requirement of a Birchas HaGomel. Al v'hoda aminim v'yushalmi kol adrochim v'chezkas sakana. There's a Yerushalmi that says that all roads are potentially dangerous. So if that's the case, so maybe you should make a Birchas HaGomel anytime you travel on the road. So the Rush answers, Lo amru elo le'inyan tfilas haderech gulvad. Shebechol hadrachim tzorech adam levakesh al nafsho. This is only true for saying tfilas haderech. But tfilas haderech we have to say anytime we take a long trip. However, avol birchas hagomel b'mokom toda niskano. But birchas hagomel is for a very special situation. Now, it's very, what does it mean? That the birchas hagomel is in, what is b'mokom toda? It's in place of the korban toda. Yeah. Now, there was a sacrifice called a korban toda. Toda means thanksgiving. And one had to bring, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, one had to bring a korban toda if one experienced one of these experiences. I say if you traveled through the desert and you survived, you have to bring a korban toda. Of course, we don't have a korban toda, but what we do instead is we make a birchas hagomel. So somehow, for this special situation which requires a korban toda, and our birchas hagomel is in place of that, That does not apply in the case where you're traveling from city to city. Now, why is that so? What is it that you're traveling city to city? There's also potential. There can be some danger. For that, no. That you say tefillas hadera. But you don't make a birchas hagona. Now, why? Did anybody get to the Aruch HaShulchan? Okay. The Aruch HaShulchan, you'll find it towards the end of the booklet, sets up for us three different types of situations where a bracha is necessary to be said. Can anybody, if you look at, well, I can't read it, we don't have the time to read it. I don't have the paper. What page?
13 and 14.
13 and 14, okay. He mentions an event that was miraculous. He mentions an event which is purely miraculous. He mentions an event which, you know, you've been rescued from something, but it seems to be purely something that's natural. And then he mentions a third situation where it's basically natural, but it was so remarkable that you were delivered from it, that it has certain aspects of nace to it, has certain aspects of a miracle to it. Now, birchas hagomel is as follows. If a person actually experienced a nace, like a nace comparable to the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, then a special bracha has to be made. Who knows that bracha? There's a special she'asa nisim b'makom hazeh. That's when something is purely miraculous. If something is purely natural, then there's no special bracha that has to be made. As a matter of fact, our tefillos speak about that. What do we say in Modim in the Shemona Esrei? Yeah, on Yisachar Shebechol Yom. And what miracles are those? Those are the natural things that we all take for granted. We all wake up in the morning, that's a miracle. But we don't make a bracha, a special bracha. Okay? So that would be if it's purely natural. Then you have something which is natural, but it was so remarkable that it has certain aspects of nace to it. And that's what birchas hagomel is. So I understand this, getting back, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan develops. So according to that, I think that's what the Rush means. When the Rush said that, why is that when you travel from city to city, you don't have to make, the minhag in Ashkenaz was not to make a birchas hagomel, because he says, you have to say tefillah sederach, yeah, tefillah sederach you say, but you don't say birchas hagomel, because I think birchas hagomel, tefillah sederach is a tefillah that we say, like the tefillah of modim that we say. So traveling from city to city, of course there's always potential danger. But basically it's a natural event. You get in your car, you travel from New York, you go to New Jersey. It's a natural event. But nevertheless, we might have to say tefillah sederach. But when something is more remarkable, like traveling through a desert and surviving, although it's natural, you know, you didn't fly on the wings of angels, right? So since it was natural, so therefore what? But it was so remarkable, it has aspects of nace to it, and that's what that's why there's a requirement of birchas hagomel. Okay? So that's why when you're just traveling from place to place, the minhag Ashkenaz was not to make a birchas hagomel. If you keep reading the Rush goes on to say what? That some disagreed. To go back to the Rush. What did the Rush say? The Rush mentioned
it could be a headache or a stomach ache.
He says the chen kasef harav Yosef davka chole shenofa lenita avun chosh berosho o b'meyav ein tzorach levarech. So he quotes that Rav Yosef says, he's one of the Rishonim, only a sick person who was forced was bedridden. If he's bedridden and then he recovers, he has to make a brachas hagomel. But somebody who just has a headache or a stomach ache, there's no need to make a bracha. That's what the Rosh said. But the Aruch says that what? Afilu chosh berosho ubemeyav. Even if someone has a headache, he doesn't feel good. Yes, and he, when he recovers, he has to make a birchas hagomel. Okay, so we have this machlokas harishonim. When is a birchas hagomel required? And we ran out. Let's just quickly go to Shulchan Aruch, and I'll try to quickly We also want to discuss what is it with regard to women, so I want to do that as well. So if you turn to the Shulchan Aruch, which has the Magen Avraham. Okay. I have a, what page is that?
Six,
okay. You turn to page 6. Okay, it says, Sif Aleph, in the Shulchan Aruch itself, he just gives us the basic halacha that there are four situations, four people who have to say this Birchas Hagomel. Look at Sif Beis. Uma Mevarech, what bracha does he make? Baruch Ato Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Olam, Hagomel Lecha Yodim Tovo, Shegmalani Kol Tov. Which is right, again, they all have this text. But then he says, V'hashomim Omrim, Mi Shegmalcho Kol Tov, Hu Yigmalcho Kol Tov Selah. Now this, I didn't have a chance to show it to you. This response of the people is not in our Gemara, but the Rambam, Maimonides, had it. It's in the book. One of the sheets that were on the table, if you go through it, you'll see that the Rambam had this, that this is a response of the people. What's the logic that there should be such a response? Now, whether the Rambam had it in his Gemara, I don't know, but the Rambam had this response. What's the idea?
Recognizing.
Well, it's saying, the one who has given to you all this good, who yigmalcho kol tov, he should continue, God should continue to grant you good tidings. To me, it's like it's empathizing and sympathizing with this person. It's sharing with him his deliverance, and it's hoping that just as God has delivered you this time, he should continue to deliver. So really, what I think the idea of the response is that they should feel for this person, and they shouldn't be removed from it. And by saying this, they are sharing with him in his great simcha that he was delivered. Okay? So we have this. Now, let's do Gimel for a second. Sarech levarech bracha zu b'fnei asara. It's necessary to make this bracha before 10. Utrei minayu rabbanan. And two of them have to be tamidei chachamim. Dechsev yiramamu bekal amu b'moshav zekinem yihaluluhu. So how does the Mechaber, how does Rav Yosef Karo begin? You need 10, and 2 have to be tamidei chachamim. 2 of the 10, that's right. Lo shchichi rabbanon. What if you can't find rabbanon? Lo yoniach milavarech. What does that mean?
He should not
refrain from saying the brach. He should say the brach anyway. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, and that's really what we do today. We will make the bracha even if we don't have tamidei chachamim present. And the truth is, we don't even bother to look to see if we have it. If you have 10 people, we'll make the bracha. It is even more than that. The nagul levarech after kriyas haTorah. The minig was to make the bracha after kriyas haTorah. Why? Lefi sheyesha masara. Because you're guaranteed of having 10 people because you can't be kareh haTorah without a minion of 10. So the minig, that's why the minig developed to make, which is in a way is a type of shevach to Hashem. So that's really appropriate to say when you're going to bench gomel. So that's what the Eliyahu Rabbah suggests. That's not just a convenience to have a minion, it can be more basic than that. And then he says, then birech bepachos ba'asara, yesh omrim sheyatza, the yesh omrim shelo yatza. There's actually a difference of opinion. What will be if you can't even get 10? What if you can't get 10 people? Let's say you can't get to